May 19th, 2013, Nintendo makes a controversial move against Let's Play videos, virtual trading cards come to Steam, and a new Gran Turismo game is announced for the PlayStation 3.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio for this May 19th, 2013, episode number 505 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining you over the next few hours to talk about games and gaming news with all you in our chat and listening on our podcast feed, and my co-hosts joining us remotely tonight. Say hello to Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I has a cold.
I'm sorry to hear it. How'd you get that? You've been...
Dan.
Oh.
He's like, I just have allergies. Let's share a soda. Oops, sorry, it was cold.
I thought maybe he might have got something at that whole Pinagogo thing. Did you go to that, which was this weekend?
He was, I think, already sick before that.
Dope.
So, but he only got to do one day at Pinagogo and missed, like, their annual pinball group barbecue.
Now, for those that don't know what Pinagogo is, it's this big pinball exposition thing they do in NorCal. Dixon. There ain't shit in Dixon either. It's a weird place for Pinagogo.
But no, I guess... there's stuff in Dixon. There's pollen and a really good ice cream parlor.
And they don't even have a 24-hour Starbucks anymore. All right, anyway.
But they do have a Mary's Pizza Shack.
Yeah, they do. And they do have Pinagogo, which is pretty awesome.
Apparently, this year was supposed to be, like, totally bomb. They had every spot filled. They couldn't take any more people in because of power use.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go because they had all kinds of prototype machines, and they had the new X-Men table and like all kinds of stuff. I really wanted to go, but Dan was sick and I wasn't going to go without him because I have no other reason to go to Dixon.
And who can blame you? All right. We'll also say hello to here in studio, Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
How are you, Techmaster Loki?
I'm fine. I'm organizing Steam games.
Now, what was this? You were trying to figure out, maybe one of our listeners knows, because we do have the live chat room at live.vognetwork.com when we are live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. We do have the chatters joining us. Maybe one of them knows the answer to your question.
Well, I was just wondering if there's a way to, oh, I guess there's different categories and stuff you could set. I just seeing if there is a way to, like, you know, oh, okay, here we go, categories. You can add categories to the games. Basically, the folder sort... some of the games I have, because I have now over 100 games. Thank you, Amazon.
Did they have a crazy sale recently or
something? Yeah, it's still going for the next, until the end of the month. It's their, like, I don't remember what they call it, like, their mega sale or something. And there's, like, a whole bunch of games and bundles and stuff. Like, there's some really good Sonic bundles. If you like Sonic the Hedgehog, you can get, like, almost all the games that they have on PC, including, like, the Genesis stuff, for, like, $20.
So it's like a Steam sale, but it's on Amazon.
Yeah, actually, that's the thing, is I've been finding a lot of these, like, sales on Steam games on other sites, you know, like Green Man Gaming or Amazon. Amazon for a lot of the stuff. Even, like, Gamefly has stuff, and it's all redeemable on Steam or, you know, Origin. They actually have some games on Origin that I really wanted, but I am not installing Origin. So
I don't blame you, sir.
I'm passing on it. They have Battlefield 3 was $10.
I really wanted Battlefield 3. I had to sell my soul to play Mass Effect 3 online on the PC.
And I really wanted Command & Conquer. Thankfully, you know, I wanted Red Alert 3 because I forgot all about it. And I went back and, you know, I started playing some of the older games. But I saw in, you know, the trailer for it that they have, you know, George Takei's in it.
Wasn't Tim Curry in that one, too?
Tim Curry is in it, yes. Tim Curry's in it. And they even have... oh, who the hell is it? It's, I could see her face and I can't think of her name. Jenny McCarthy's in it. She plays Tanya.
Random.
Yeah, she plays, like, the assassin chick. But, yeah, it's so awesome. And just, and because they went back in the second game, I don't know if they had the full motion video cutscenes, but they went back to the way that the first game was, where they had full motion video cutscenes, and it's just awesome. But it also has Origin, and I'm not doing that, so I'm sorry.
Going to the chat room at live.vognetwork.com, ActDeft says, you can sort your games in your Steam library. So you can at least sort them differently. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just have to mess around with it.
All right. We're going to get to how was your gaming week and the types of things you've been playing this week. But before we do, I wanted to do a quick kickoff topic. Obviously, this week we have the big Xbox reveal is coming up on Tuesday. And we've had rumor this, rumor that. Always online, always not. Xbox 720, Xbox Infinity. Going to replace your cable system. Going to have Kinect built in. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I thought now would be a good time to talk about what are your final predictions for what is going to happen on Tuesday. I don't know if we're going to actually have a show next week, Memorial Day weekend, because Darksoccer is going to be out of town. We already knew that. I may actually be out of town as well. So if there's two out of three of us are out of town.
I'll just talk.
So Loki will do the one-man show. Didn't you do that 1 year? Like, we were all at
E3. I've done it a couple times. Yeah,
those shows were really interesting, you guys.
All right. We can discuss pizza and bacon.
I might. If I've got stuff to talk about, it's not so bad. But trying to stretch, like, you know, with, yeah.
It's more fun when it's live and we have the chatters for that kind of instant feedback, too. Even when we're wrong.
I can team up with Bobby, occasion. I guess.
Wrong? There you
go.
Us?
There you go. You can team up with Bobby, but I don't think Bobby's looking for a partner.
That would be hilarious.
But he's my only friend on multiple gaming services. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about final predictions for the new Xbox. I guess I will start with our resident loudmouth, Loki, and I say that with love.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll just start with what we're not going to see. We're not going to see a date other than holiday. We're not going to see a price, and we're not going to hear anything about, you know, DRM, so you can just forget about, you know, that. That's going to have to come with, you know, press asking follow-up questions, that kind of stuff. They're not going to say, hey, oh, by the way, use games. Nope. I don't think they're even going to do that, but because, like I said, that's going to be really weird. Although there are some stories that make me wonder if there is something coming. But once again, everybody has to be on board, not just them. All platforms have to be on board with it in order for it to work. So it's not going to happen. I don't even know, like, what we're going to really see as far as new games. I mean, specs, they're gonna show us specs. They may show us a box. I mean, if you think about it, how hard would it be for them to, you know, mock up something? It doesn't have to be exactly like that. I mean, it can change once it goes to retail, but they can mock up something, you know, just have it there so that people can not bitch about it.
And things do change before retail.
Exactly.
I think about the PlayStation 3 boomerang. That was
the PlayStation 3. It's going to be, you know, 1080p, 120 frames per second, and
it's going to have 20 USB ports in the back.
It's going to have like a million USB ports and two HDMI or three HDMI ports or something.
Bro,
like,
what do you even need that for?
Well, if you want to, like,
a daisy chain,
HDMI in, HDMI audio to your receiver, and HDMI to your TV, whatever. But I don't know. They'll probably just talk specs. They'll talk about, you know, I think they're going to focus a lot on, like, the entertainment stuff, you know, with the whole, you know, taking over your TV, being an entertainment hub. I just hope there's something cool. And, you know, I just don't want to see, like, you know, connect.
Yeah, with the new video game console, you want to say something cool?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. I've decided, though, I am going to get a new video game console this year. I am going to buy one of those at launch. It's either going to be the PlayStation 4 or the...
My money's on Wii U. For you, Loki.
No.
There could be a price cut at E3.
It'd have to be a pretty big price cut. Because my wife played Animal Crossing today.
Mm-hmm.
Or tried to get Josh to play Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's a slippery slope right
there. Uh-oh.
He doesn't quite get it.
How old's Josh now?
He's just like almost 3.
Okay.
Slippery slip.
All right. Let's go over to Dark Sakura, I know you don't totally care about things Microsoft, but out of curiosity, what do you think might come of Tuesday's presentation?
I'm actually going to second a lot of what Loki said, just because I'm sure we're not going to get a specific date. We're not going to get a specific price point. We'll get a name. We'll get a few screen captures of video games that are actually PC screen captures. More about it, you know, being for entertainment, the multiple use, you know, pictures of actor families together looking happy and waving their hands around looking stupid. Stupid and happy people. You know, the name confirmation. I've seen so many Sega announcements, and they've been the same. Xbox announcements, and they've been the same type of thing every year. I think it's just going to be their usual pattern. I'm not going to be surprised by anything.
Cirque du Soleil this year? Space ponchos?
No.
No, there's a... Well, the thing was that the...
Information-wise.
The actual, like, tent is the space poncho. It's like you're in the space poncho. It's like meta space poncho.
All right, anything else, Dark
Saga? That's what it should be, though. Hey, you guys like the hashtag so much, we now present the Xbox space poncho.
No. And they'll have a... EA humping them in the background, and it won't sell in Japan.
All right, anything else you want to say about that, Dark Saga? All right, going to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. Some comments on Loki's possible solo podcast next week. Alan Alchemy in chat says, Loki's totally rational and not loud Nintendo critique and discussion hour.
Maybe. I am 100% rational, and I critique because I love.
Dark Tetsuya says, Loki's Bacon Pizza Podcast. Where do I subscribe? At the hospital when you guys all have heart attacks. That's where you subscribe.
That's not going to happen.
All right. My turn. So what do I predict for Tuesday? Definitely you're going to have the name. That's for sure. Finally, we can stop calling it the 720 and we'll know the real name.
Unless it is the 720, which would be hilarious.
Please no. Please, Microsoft, no.
We've
no
spun around twice.
No.
I still vote for the lube.
I love the name Xbox, the lube. Xbox Infinity seems probable, but I do think that's more internet wank. I think it's just simply something you haven't
heard.
My
money is on Fusion. Xbox Fusion.
Xbox Fusion? Yeah. Right, we'll see. Also, you will get... I think they are going to one-up what Sony did, and I think they will show you what it looks like, even though it is, of course, subject to change. Absolutely not on the date. Absolutely not on the price. That will be E3. And I think one thing y'all need to be prepared is that there's not going to be a lot of games shown because they've already pretty much come out and said E3 is all about the games. And I think that's a really risky move on Microsoft's part because I can just see the Twitter snark now. Where are the games?
Well, they
did say they're going to show the Call of Duty Ghost thing.
Yeah.
That will be shown, but that is, you know, that's one game and that's a game we already kind of knew is coming. I don't think you're going to see any, like, bang up. Okay, let's go to Rumor Wankville. Let's go to the wankiest of wanks. You ready?
Yeah.
If there's a new Killer Instinct game on this Xbox, you ain't seeing it tomorrow. That would be an E3 surprise. That would be the end of the E3 presentation. If they're going to pull out that kind of wank, that's when that's coming.
I want to see him do something like that and then just drop the mic at the end. Just drop the mic and walk off the stage. It's like... Done.
Or just fire a gun. Shots fired, Sony. Bam. We're out. I think it's going to be a lot. I think it's a lot about trying to get the tech world kind of buzzed up a little bit. And I think you're going to see much more on the... If it's true that they want to replace your cable box, which I think could be a likely thing. I think we're going to see a lot more about that. And definitely interaction between Windows 8 and how you can interact with things on your PC and how the PC will work as, you know, pretty much what you've already seen with Windows Media Center, but I think they're going to kind of bump it up a little bit. And Windows Phone. Because you know that it's all about the synergy between all
those
different
Microsoft.
No one's
buying the Windows Phone. It'll be all tablets and, you know, iOS, Android. They know that they're limiting themselves. No one is going to buy a Windows phone for the next Xbox.
But any of that stuff, the snark in you ought to be asking, will Microsoft let it last more than a year? Or is it going to be the next game room, the next smart glass, the next HD DVD drive?
Or on top of that, is half the stuff that they're even going to show actually going to be possible? Remember, hey, I'm scanning the bottom of my skateboard to bring the artwork into the game versus, hey, I'm scanning my picture so that I can get a color for my car. Mm-hmm. And it always looks pink because the lighting in my room sucks.
I think you will see some games, like a limited amount. I think it's going to be a lot of kind of what we already know about. And maybe like a teaser reel of stay tuned to E3 for more on this. You know, like a full motion video that will make no sense at the very end. And like, you want to see what this is? Stay tuned for E3. That's how it'll end or something like that. So
It'll end with Square Enix coming out, and we're going to have, we would like to announce a game that we're going to announce at E3.
EA will walk out on stage and go, we are going to give our full support to the next. We believe the next Xbox is the future of gaming, and we are going to partner up with the. And we'll be all sitting here going, didn't we hear this before
actually,
a couple years ago?
You are correct. They will be out. I do think that they're actually going to be in the presentation because one of the rumors was supposed to be that Titan game from the Infinity Ward guys. Their new company.
Oh, the actual Titan game.
No, the actual Titan.
Well, I'm thinking, when you say Titan, my mind goes to Horde House, Blizzard, and all that, and I think of the Project Titan that Blizzard's doing.
No.
So, but no, it's not that. So
I think that we can all agree, though, that no matter what Microsoft says, there is going to be a shitstorm on the internet immediately following.
Absolutely, which is really interesting because I'm actually going to be out of town. I'm not going to be able to watch it live or participate in the snark on Twitter.
I'm going to watch it live, and I'll participate in the snark.
Of course you will.
You should live blog it for us.
And I already have my popcorn, so I'm all ready.
All right.
I'm a little sad I'm going to be having to watch it late, but I'm going to be up in Reno. I'm not getting up at 10 a.m. to watch this crap.
I'm busy.
So, I'll have to kind of wait and see it later and have to go rewind the snark over on Twitter. All right. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking at our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, and I'm kind of curious what you guys think is going to happen. ActDef says, I'm betting on Xbox Power 3 or X-Cube. It might be a little too close to GameCube. Shadow Next Gen says, Xbox Infinity makes sense. Turn the Infinity symbol right side up, and what do you get? The number 8, which can tie into Windows 8. Here's my whole kind of like, with that, though, is that we had that news, was it this week or last week, that there's going to move on to Windows 8.1, which is that Windows Blue they've been talking about, which is going to be a free upgrade for Windows 8. So it's basically like fixing the problems people have with Windows 8 to try to get more people to buy it. Essentially, you know, like a free patch. So so now it's going to be 8.1. So
it's the Band-Aid.
I guess. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, not that I disagree with what Shadow Next Gen's saying, but I'm just wondering how that's going to play into it.
Windows 8, it's just a service pack. Windows 8 Service Pack 1 now.
Yeah, but they seem to be calling it much more than a service pack, right? So we'll see.
See, I thought they should call it the Tesseract.
Why is that?
Because a Tesseract is a fourth dimensional cube, since they would have, if you were going by box to cube, the next step up would be a Tesseract. Hmm. But then again, I watch way too much Cosmos, so just ignore me.
All right. There you go. Those are some of the chats from live.vognetwork.com. Because, again, we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, and it is all about letting you guys have your voice in the show. And I know a lot of you are going to have some reactions after Tuesday, so please, we want them when they're fresh. Email us, mailbag@orangeloungetrader.com, or you can always tweet us at OLR, and we're also on Facebook and Google+. So interact with us, and we'll read your comments here on the show. Let's move on to our gaming weeks and the types of video games that you've been playing this week while you wait for this next wave of game consoles to take off. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
My gaming week was kind of less eventful just because I've been getting ready to leave. I've played Ragnarok Online 2. I'm definitely going to quit WoW. It's just I'm trying to find a time to log on and finish up some stuff and give people some money if anyone ever went on the Alliance Guild again.
For your money, I'll sign in to my Paladin and give me a dollar.
I have a lot of money on my Alliance account, which makes me kind of want to transfer one of my tunes over. I've been playing some Ragnarok Online 2, and Gravity is doing this sort of drawing thing where you could win a prize. Your name is entered for every hour you're logged in. So there have been a lot of vendors in-game. I've been doing my weekly Mass Effect 3. I would call it my rant fest whilst playing. I've been doing that.
A let's play. That's going to come up later in the show. So it's a let's play, basically.
It's more or less me just doing the MST3K thing with it and telling off characters and, you know, calling Udina asshole.
Okay,
so a
let's bitch.
It's Mass Effect 3 Rocky Edition.
Okay.
All right. So I've been doing that. I also bought Borderlands 2 because right now I think it's still on sale on Steam. It went to like some ridiculous price, like $13. So I went ahead and picked up Borderlands 2, even if it's going to make me puke my brains out from, you know, motion sickness. Dan had such a good time playing it. Dan also got a new racing rig.
I saw those pictures on Facebook. It looks sweet. He's got like three monitors, right, and a little sit-down seat.
He had the monitors already. They're actually three TVs. Because he got the hookup at work.
Okay.
But his old rig, he had like a Fanatic stand and these chairs that he built out of the seats from, a Honda Civic or something. So he actually has like an actual racing rig that he bought from some guy in Reno. And the guy came and delivered it, and it was pretty neat. So he's got a lot of racing going on. He's looking forward to Grid 2. And so I've been indirectly participating in his racing addiction by watching him and commenting and going, that car sucks. but that's really been the extent of my gaming. No, I played something else, and for the life of me, I can't remember what it was, so just forget it. Off.
I was going to say, it must not have made a big impression. What is Off? I don't know if I've heard of this.
It's a very, very weird little RPG. Especially now that I can play it windowed, it's like you are sort of like controlling an avatar, and your avatar's called the Batter.
Mm-hmm.
Like a guy with bat. And you go around and do puzzles and talk to people, and it's bizarre, I'll put it that way, but it's free. It was done by, I forgot the name, but the original version was in French, and it's been translated. And it's something that should be looked for. I'll find a link for it for the chat room, where I downloaded the translation from.
Okay.
It's a neat little game, plus also half of Tumblr loses their mind over it.
Of course.
Yeah. I've been enjoying it.
Just like Tumblr loses their mind over the Yahoo overlords that are coming in next
week,
apparently.
Oh my god, I am so... don't even get me started.
But it's fun to get you started.
You're freaking out over no news, really. Nothing. They haven't done anything. You're just, you know... Yahoo doesn't have the best track record, but still.
I think I made this comparison on Bobby Blackwell's show when we were doing the call at the end of his show, as we always do. But it's kind of like grandma taking you to a One Direction concert. It's what that buyout feels like.
What's One Direction?
It's a British thing. I thought you were up on all your Brit stuff.
I'm not up on things that suck.
So you do know what it is. All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I played a whole bunch of different things this week. So let's see. Start off this week, we did the VOD Gaming Night, Grand Theft Auto 4 free play.
I promise I wanted to be there, but I drove to San Francisco to see Star Trek.
Did you play the game?
No. Not yet.
So we just kind of hung out. We were going to try to join other people's free mode games, but it was just a big combat fest. And we didn't really want to shoot each other, which is kind of anti-Grand Theft Auto, but we were just messing around. So we went to the swing set of evil or death or whatever you want to call it, and we're launching cars out of that. And that was kind of fun. So we messed around with that a little bit. And then let's see what else. Oh, and for next week, I have no idea what we're going to play. So... anyone has any suggestions on what you want to play, that'd be fantastic. And also, I'm thinking about maybe toying with the idea of changing the night from Thursday to Friday, because I know it gets kind of late, especially when we're starting at 8 o'clock on the East Coast. I mean, on Thursday night, it's a little odd. But maybe Friday, we'll see. Also have video capture equipment finally. I got an Elgato Game Capture HD. So.
Ooh, you have to tell me how that works, because I really want to get something for the living room here to do that type of thing.
Yeah, it looks pretty simple, so I'll have to mess with that. And then, so back to the games. So I had the urge this week to play Command & Conquer Red Alert, like the first one. And so I was going to go buy it from Amazon because they have their sale going. And then I was doing some searching, and it's freeware. So I downloaded it for free, which is fantastic. That's the best price. And so I installed it, had to add some different patches to it to get to work in Windows 7. And the first thing I had to do, mod it, because that's what I do. I play modded games. So I messed with the rules INI file to mod kind of how I had it before. I had a really cool setup back in the day when I was playing it with all these custom units I made and stuff. So I kind of remembered some of that and put it back in there. So I played a skirmish game last night. It took about, 2 hours. Just because I was toying with the computer. I wasn't, immediately going for the kill. I was just letting them kind of, live a little bit. But it was pretty fun. I had a lot of fun with it. It still runs like shit, though, on my computer, which is weird. Because it's such an old game, you'd think with, the processor being so fast that it should be able to run a little faster than it did. But, whatever. So I played that. And then, since I can talk about it this week, Metro Last Light, I played that last week, and it's fantastic.
I was going to say, you gave it a very favorable review over at VogueNetwork.com.
Yeah, it's fantastic. My laptop is not very... I mean, the graphics card on it's not great. I ran everything in that game on low visual settings, but I never noticed. I mean, it looked just like the console version. Hmm. Apparently it has really good visuals, but... you have to have a pretty decent graphics card, and I'm kind of limited. I can't upgrade my graphics card in my laptop, so...
You weren't the only one that seemed to enjoy it. I'm seeing a lot on the internet, a lot of good reviews to that game.
But, yeah, it reminded me a lot of, Bioshock Infinite, just with kind of the different story elements. It's very linear. Like Bioshock was very linear. There's a little bit of you can do this, you can do that differently. You can do a lot of stealth in the game, which is kind of cool. You can take out lights, and a lot of the lights thing plays into the stealth stuff. So you can actually, there's a mode that's pretty difficult. You can actually play the whole game without killing anybody, except for the mutants. You have to kill the mutants because, they'll just charge right at you. You can't walk past them. But, there's an achievement you get for doing that. And, I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed the storyline. I haven't played 2033. I have 2033, so I should probably check it out. Although now I've had the ending spoiled because, they kind of give it away at the end of this game because it ties in with it. But, it was a really great game. I'm glad I got to play it because I wasn't really familiar with the series at all, and it's pretty awesome. So definitely worth checking out. And I know a lot of people might want to wait until a sale comes. And if it's anything like the other Deep Silver games, it'll be deeply discounted pretty soon because they really knocked the prices off their games pretty quick.
And just a quick plug, since you did bring up the review that you did for this game, if you check out his review over at VogueNetwork.com, and I noticed for the live listeners, Bobby put that in chat, but it's really easy to find if you just go to VogueNetwork.com. The really cool thing about the way the website is built over at Vogue Network, or the Voice of Geeks Network, is that you can actually do a response review. So if you also like the game, or maybe you didn't like the game and you want to have your say on that, you can actually write a response review, and the way it's done is that we actually screen the reviews to make sure they're not trolly, to make sure they are thought out, to make sure they're worthy of posting right underneath the main review. And, we never judge that on opinion, whether you love it or hate it. We just want to make sure it sounds like you've actually played it and, that you're not just
It's not like a Metacritic thing you're like, 1,
exactly,
10.
Exactly. It has to be a little more thought out than that. So we will, of course, approve those, and you get your review right there, right underneath the main review. And it's pretty cool, and one of the things that makes our site really unique, which I like. So you only have a limited amount of time to do that, though. I don't remember what it is. Bobby, you'll have to remind me. I think it's 2 weeks or a month. You can also do that on movies. I know a lot of you have been seeing Iron Man 3, Star Trek Into Darkness. Both those movies are also reviewed on our site, and you can participate with that.
And then the other things I played on the Ouya. I've been playing a lot of stuff on the Ouya. I've actually been playing a lot of the Pingo puzzle poker. It's like this cross between poker and bingo. And I can't beat my high score, though. And she keeps extending. They have a high score contest going on right now, and she keeps extending it out. It's now June 15th is when that expires because there's not a lot of people participating. But man, I have a 591,000 score. That good luck anyone beating that, because I've been playing every day and I can't beat that. I got close. I got 491 the other day, but so I played that. It's pretty fun. I was trying some other games. I've been doing a lot of these like quick looks at different games on the Wii, and I've actually been posting quite a bit on my YouTube channel, which is just Loki OLR. And I've been noticing a lot of problems with those analog dead zones. Like, I wasn't noticing it originally, but man, they're bad on those early controllers. It's just not... You try to, like, turn diagonal, and your character slows down because it's like you're not pushing very far in the analog stick. But I played this... Was it Amazing Frog or something like that? And the volume on it... They have these boom boxes in the game, and the audio is so fucking loud. It's ridiculous. I had to shut the game off. Like, it's actually funny if you watch the video... I shut it off because it was so goddamn loud on the game. And, like, I had the volume on the TV wasn't that loud because I've been playing other games in it, but the audio of those boomboxes is just so fucking ridiculous that I was like, I'm going to try to smash this thing. But I don't know, that was kind of fun.
Some random comments from our chat room. Shadow Next Gen agreeing with you. Vector on Ouya is a lot of fun. And Bobby is in chat clarifying something I brought up earlier. The review, you can actually respond to reviews at any time. I made a mistake. I confused it with another feature of the site that technically is also open all the time. It just doesn't give rewards after a certain point on VogNetwork.com. But reviews, always open. So that's really cool. So you can
Rob.
Check that out whenever. I know. Well, our site is just so intricate and awesome that I forget things. It's too complicated. I need a user manual. All right. Anything else for your gaming week, Logi?
I think that's it for this week. But yeah, seriously though, you know, we have there's a topic on the gaming section on the VOG forums for the gaming night stuff. Let me know what games you guys want to play. It doesn't have to be on Xbox 360. It's just it's been that way for the last couple times. I mean, PC, PS3, whatever you guys have, whatever you want to play. You know, obviously pick a game or, you know, consider, like, games that allow a lot of people to play. Like Saints Row the Third multiplayer, not going to work because it's only two people. I mean, that's kind of, it'd be fun, but you just can't really do that. So something that, you know, and preferably free, like Team Fortress 2 was one that I thought of because I haven't played that, and it's free, so...
Of going into my gaming week, I actually got to that point where I was kind of bored, so I was going through random games on Steam, and I even went into Team Fortress 2. But I only did, like, single-player stuff, like tutorials and bots and things on my own. But, yeah, I would actually love to try Team Fortress 2, kind of like a... I think we should have a noob night on Team Fortress 2, like, no shame. And, like, people that are a little more experienced, like I know ActDeft actually plays a little bit, like, they can be the coaches. So we can have, like, a no-shame noob night on Team Fortress 2, I think would be a lot of fun. Because I would like to see something like that for, like, League of Legends and Dota. I need a friendly, warm environment to help me learn some of those games, as opposed to the mean assholes that make up a lot of the League of Legends community.
You know,
that'd be my mode.
You know, one of the games I've been looking at, like, one of the sale things that they have at Amazon right now, speaking of games to get into and stuff, Civ 5. They have Civ 5 Gold with the... some other thing on there, and then XCOM for like $20.
Pull the trigger. It's great. Civ 5 is great.
I think Civ 4 is also in there.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Civ 4 was a great game too, but Civ 5 is awesome. And that would also be a game that would make a great night sometime. But that is going to have to be an OLR weekend game. Anyway.
All right.
Going into other games I've been playing this week, a lot of the Warcraft stuff is starting to die down a little bit as all my friends are leaving. I'm still playing it now and again, but mostly you just log in, do a daily dungeon and a daily PvP, and then that's about it for right now. So, you know, but with the patch 5.3 coming soon, I imagine I'll be playing more World of Warcraft. But some of the games I've been checking out in the interim, as I mentioned before, I did check out Team Fortress 2. I actually went into Star Trek Online for a little bit. I think seeing the movie kind of put me in a mood where I'm like, I need to check out Star Trek Online again. It's been a long time since I played it. And, you know, it's free to play online through Steam, so it's very easy to download and set up. I had some weird issues just trying to launch the game. Like, I sat there on a loading screen for, I kid you not, 5 minutes.
The game's really gone to crap since they made it free to play.
Really? That's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, I logged in and I was playing for a little bit. I had fun with the character creation, kind of making a little guy that I want to say it looks like me, but it ended up looking like Riker. But I've also been told that I look like Riker with red hair, so I don't know what to
tell you. I don't see it.
I think it's the beard.
It must be the beard.
But But yeah, whatever. So I made my guy, and I had fun doing like the little tutorial, but I had to go somewhere else, so I didn't get to play. Like, I didn't get to actually interact with other people, so that was that. But they seemed to, they changed the beginning of the game from what I remember, because I remember the beginning of the game used to be not, narrated by Zachary Quinto, and now they have Leonard Nimoy doing it. Oh, that was interesting. So,
well, no, the beginning was always narrated by Leonard Nimoy. It's Quinto does the sort of tutorial battle.
Oh,
he's the EMH.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Got it. Yeah, Tiger Claw.
They changed so much in it; it's not fun anymore.
Why is that? What is? I don't know enough about the game just from playing the tutorial.
They changed the skill trees. Like, they completely redid the skill. A setup for how you assign and do your points and your various weapons that you can pick up for your different classes.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, my normal class is an engineer, and I always do what are they called? The fast ships, the little small fast ships. But every time I would log in, my skills would be completely reset, so I'd have to reassign all of my skills. Mm. And then they'd change it a third time. So I was like, you know what? This isn't even worth it to me to have to sit and go through. Because keep in mind, my character right now is a Rear Admiral.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took forever to get everything. And I also had like the middle level account because I had stopped paying my subscription, but I had been paying a subscription.
Mm.
So it was just... All I did last time I played was hang out at Deep Space Nine and play Dabo. Seriously, that's all I did.
Tiger Claw in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com reminding us Star Trek Online has a new DLC pack called Legacy of Romulus. Yes, I did notice that. It's all over the splash screens when you log into the game. So, some other folks in chat, a variety of people talking about the Star Trek game that just came out on 360 PS3 and the negative reception it's getting. I seen Shadow Next Gen in chat saying, stay away, far, far away. So... Apparently it's not good. That's too bad, because I remember they pushed it back to tie in with the new movie as opposed to the last Blu-ray. So, uh-oh. Let's see. Other stuff I played this week. Believe it or not, I went back to Diablo 3 and played quite a bit of that. You guys might remember I picked it up again very randomly a couple months ago, but then I kind of like fell off the wagon, didn't play for a bit. Well, I read somewhere they were doing a 25% increased XP and magic gold find weekend because this is the 1 year anniversary of Diablo 3 coming out. So I was like, what the hell? I'll go take a look. And I actually played enough. I finally beat the damn game. A year later, finally beat Diablo 3. I killed Diablo. And I'll tell you what, you'll have to ask Alan about this, but I had so much rage during that Diablo fight, because the game is not that hard. Like, it's just, you know, click, click, kill, kill, kill. You know, especially if you're finding the good items and using the auction house, not real money. I don't use real money, but I use the gold auction house to find good deals on gear and stuff. I had some really good gear, but when I got to the last act, when I got to the second half of Act 4, that game started kicking my ass. It got a lot harder. And when I finally got to the Diablo fight, I think I had to fight him like 7 times before I got it. It was as intricate as a raid fight in World of Warcraft. Like, you have to, you know, don't stand in the black, watch out for his beam that's going to go clockwise, and make sure when the shadow does the attack, it doesn't hit you. Like, you have to be watching for all this stuff. So it was a very unforgiving fight. So, but I beat him. I didn't need any help. So I finally, and you guys might remember, I said I wanted to play Diablo through once by myself, no people helping me, which a couple of people on my friends list got a little butthurt that I didn't want to play Diablo 3 with them. But I said a long time ago I was going to do that and I was going to play it through, because one of my friends was like, let me help you kill Diablo. Let me help you kill Diablo. And I'm like, no. I did it. So now I'm going to explore some of the multiplayer stuff. That's the next thing I want to do in Diablo and move on to the nightmare difficulty or whatever. Because the one negative I will say with that is that Diablo 3 kind of has a shitty ending. Like, you get the little full motion video movie, which I guess is cool and so forth. And then it's like, well, you beat it on this difficulty. Now play again. Do, 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 do. You know, and then
was it worth the
roll.
Blood pact?
Huh?
Was it worth the blood pact?
Well, yeah, because I played enough WoW and I got Diablo 3 for free, so it's hard to bitch. So, and to be fair, maybe the ending is like, it gets better when you play it on the higher difficulties, because what, you can play it through like 4 different difficulties, right? And then hardcore. So, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I thought, because I never beat games, I thought y'all could appreciate I did finally beat Diablo 3. Hooray. And that was pretty much my gaming week. So, quick housekeeping. We may not have a show next week. In fact, I'm going to say right now, it's very likely we will not have a show next week. Stay tuned to Twitter for updates, though. Twitter.com/OLR. We will let you know midweek because we do want to do something about the Xbox thing on Tuesday and getting some immediate reactions to that. I do want to plug our Facebook, Facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio, and, of course, Twitter, Twitter.com/OLR. And also, I thought we would take an opportunity and plug some of the Twitch TV live streaming we've been doing. I've been doing it all on the main OLR channel, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. And I'm going to try to convince Loki to move there. But right
that's
now,
fine. I only did it once. So.
Right now, you're streaming where?
I think it's Loki OLR on mm-hmm. Twitch.
But now, Jamie, you do some more personal projects where you're doing sketching and things like that. So you do have your own Twitch channel for that. Where's that at?
It's Kuro Tsubasa, KuroTsubasa.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm actually thinking about making an actual live stream account just for the drawing.
Nice.
Because Twitch is more for gaming. And to be honest, though, I'm probably going to be taking a little bit of a break from doing the hardcore projects because I finally finished my FemShep project.
How many FemShep drawings did you end up doing?
22.
22. Wow.
Nice. Two of them were mine. But yeah, they're all done, and they are on Mass Effecting, my Tumblr for all things Mass Effect.
Well, then maybe we'll have to get your gaming stuff on the OLR channel as well, and then we'll have all those subscribers still built in from the days we used to do the show over there. So,
that'd be nice.
Be nice. All right, but for now, let's because when we're off a week, that's the live streaming is a really good way to kind of keep tabs on us during the week. We do make sure that we're streaming when there is not other programming at the Voice of Geeks Network, which we'll always try to promote the other great independent shows, everything from TVs to movies to anime to British stuff to American stuff to Australian stuff. It's all at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Let's get into gaming news, of which there was a surprising amount of it this week, although I guess we are getting in those weeks leading up to E3, so yeah, more and more is going to come up.
Only a couple weeks away, so.
All right, Loki.
So EA shockingly announced that they are putting an end to their online pass program and basically saying, yes, we are discontinuing online pass, and none of our EA titles will feature or include that feature. that's funny.
Yeah, feature.
It says many players didn't respond to the format, and you know, we've listened to feedback and decided to do away with it moving forward. Which makes me think, what the hell is coming up that we don't know about that's right? Going to take the place of this? Because
I think a lot of people had that reaction as there's that initial celebration, like, the Kermit flail, yay! The EA got rid of the online pass. Like, they realized it was a really off-putting idea, but then it's like, wait a minute. This can only get worse.
EA is not a company to go, hey, guys, we were wrong. Sorry. Hey, you know that SimCity? We should have made it offline. Here's a patch to make it offline. They're not going to do that. It's going to have something that's being done by the console manufacturers to take the place of this.
The money is going to come from somewhere. And I wonder, well, even if it's not necessarily that whole thing that it's...
microtransactions?
I think it's increased DLC. I think that's where they're going to make, and remember this point, because I'm going to bring it up again later in the show when we get into something else involving EA, but I think the whole DLC and the microtransactions is how they're going to make up the money. I think you're going to see more games that really rely on that, you know, that to make their, because why not? It works for Facebook and free-to-play games, and a lot of companies, unfortunately, are moving into that dangerous space where it's like, oh, well, the consumer wants to play Facebook game and they want to buy all these little free jewels and energy packs.
They got out of that, though.
And, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, that's got to be something.
I don't doubt that they're going to charge you $60 for a game and have a bunch of crappy DLC for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or some good DLC, but probably a lot of crappy DLC.
Do you think that possibly the relationship with GameStop came into this? Do you think maybe GameStop maybe choked a bitch, so to speak, and GameStop might have been like, you know, our retail people don't really push your games because, you know, you don't get the same value out of that. And, you know, we kind of like to push the 2K sports games that don't have the online passes. And, you know.
I don't even know if that would have really... I think that maybe they just found that they weren't making a whole ton of money off of it. Maybe they think that their games are so awesome that people are just buying them new anyways. Although, I don't know. It's just... It's weird. I don't know really what they would be thinking. But do I think other publishers are going to follow suit because, you know, hey, EA did it, and so everybody else started doing it? No. I mean, if you already think about it, you have one less studio that's going to be doing that. Deep Silver not following suit with, like, THQ's decision to do online passes for their games, so you're not going to see it through them. I don't think Take-Two's doing that for WWE 2K14, so you're not going to have that happening. Really, the only companies left would be Ubisoft. Warner Games, they still might do that, but, you know, really their next big game coming out is, you know, Batman Arkham Origins, which doesn't have an online component, but last time with Arkham Asylum, they had the whole Catwoman DLC, which was the sort of online pass, pre-order bonus, whatever you want to call it. And then, so yeah, Ubisoft and Sony, really, Sony first party would be the, you know, the other ones that have that in there.
Dark Soccer, what do you think about the whole EA getting rid of the online pass?
I think it's, a smart move for one thing, but I think that they're going to replace it with something more nefarious. I trust EA as far as I could pick up their entire headquarter building and push it.
Well, I think this is a good excuse to check in with the listeners here for a minute, and I think we're going to do a live poll. How's that sound? All right, we're going to go to vognetwork.com, and specifically live.vognetwork.com, and we're going to ask our question of the live listeners. And tonight's question is, why did EA get rid of the online pass? And here's some of the options collected from what the hosts have said so far. They are truly trying to look less evil. There's something about the new consoles. They're going to rely on increased DLC. GameStop put them in a chokehold, or something else. You can vote now. Register participants at live.vognetwork.com. We'll see the poll up there on the site and can vote right now. And you'll see that under the chat box at live.vognetwork.com. We'll go over those results there in just a minute. Cool thing is that once you vote, you can actually see the results come in live. And so far, everybody is saying there's something about the new consoles, ..
But see, there's nothing already. They've already talked about the PlayStation 4, and they've said that there's nothing preventing used games. So I don't know if there is going to be anything with new consoles. Maybe they just decided, hey, you know what? We're just not making a ton of money off of this. Although, I thought they said they were making quite a bit of money. So why would you just get rid of money? Yeah, or give up on that.
Exactly. I mean, is it really that much of a trying to save face after what happened with SimCity?
Because people are kind of expecting that. Anyways, maybe, I don't know. I don't really know what their thought process could be. I guess we'll find out. We're definitely not going to find out on Tuesday. They're not going to say, hey, no. By the way, we're going to have a feature that's going to prevent you from buying these.
Yeah, the negative stuff or anything that can be perceived as negative, that's not coming out on Tuesday. They're not going to come out on stage and say, oh, yeah, and this Xbox has to always be online or you'll get kicked off. Like, that's not something they would ever say. That's something that will have to get
yanked out of
them. I think
it would be cool if they did address all those, like, if they had actual responses that were positive, like, it's not always online. We've heard your worries, and it's not.
All the guy talking, all the talking head would have to do is get up there and say, you know, and don't worry, if I lose my internet connection, I can still play the game. So stop tweeting about it, you know, or just make a little joke about it. Like, that's all they would need to do. And everybody could laugh it off. Like an old sitcom at the end. Anyhow. All right. Let's see. I'm going to check the results here. Still 58% of the vote. There's something about the new consoles. No votes for GameStop putting them in a chokehold, though. People don't think that seems to be it. So a large amount of people as well. 30%. They're going to rely on increased DLC. About 8% right now saying they are truly trying to look less evil. So 8% giving them the benefit of the doubt there. So we'll see. I'll check in with that poll one more time after this story, give you guys a last chance to vote there at live.vognetwork.com. This is getting a little bit of controversy this week. The story that's going around about a game that isn't even out here in America, but a lot of people here have an opinion on it. The game is in Japan only. Nintendo of Japan makes this series called Tomodachi Collection, New Life. This is a game that's on the 3DS, and from my understanding of the game, I'm not gonna confess to know a whole lot about this game, but it's kind of Nintendo's answer to The Sims / Animal Crossing, and it uses Miis, and it's one of those like life simulation type of games. Well, apparently there is a glitch in the game, and according to some people in Japan, what happens with the glitch is that the glitch enables same-sex marriages to appear, and what you do, you bring your Miis over to the 3DS using the Mii transfer tool, and somehow this glitch will allow your character to bathe with characters of the same gender, make babies, defy the laws of science and everything, and you know, raise babies and all that stuff with the whole same gender. And obviously, places like Tumblr are very, and the story actually says this.
Hey,
it's true though. Places like Tumblr and some of the fan sites are very happy about this and posting their pictures of their happy little gay family and so forth. And, you know, obviously as a gay guy myself, I like to see a lot of this, you know, stuff that's positive in games. And, you know, I love the way The Sims does it. Like, The Sims is a great model. It's like one of those games where it's like, you know, The Sims just will like whatever they like, whatever you want them to like. Like, there's just no rules or things like that. But in this game, it's unfortunately unintended, and they're going to patch it out. The patch in the near future will fix some other bugs that happen because of the same-sex marriages. Because the same-sex marriages will lead to the inability to boot up the game, the inability to save, getting a notice on home menu's notification that a child will be sent on a journey, but no actual messages there. That's clearly something in the game that I don't know much about because I don't know the series very well. But a lot of people
taking the Republican route, you know.
Well, here's the thing: there's a lot of people out there that are like, the way games journalism works, where it's copy paste, but make the headline more sensationalist each time, is that Nintendo bans same-sex marriage from their game, you know, or something. It's okay. Maybe the way this really is that Nintendo didn't plan to put same-sex marriage in their game. It ended up there anyway through a bug, which will also cause save files to corrupt and so forth, so they've got to do something about it. You know, I don't think they're necessarily trying to patch out the gay marriage, but that wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. So I'm not as upset about this as you might think. I mean, again, I'm gay myself, and I like to see this stuff in games. But I also realize a lot of Japanese games don't have gay marriage stuff in their games. Final Fantasy XI, you could marry in that game, but they didn't do same gender weddings. It was something they were thinking about or whatever, but they never did it. You know,
it was like that for Ragnarok Online.
Did they do same gender as in Ragnarok?
Yeah, they did. You had like marriage skills. Mm-hmm. Like if you married your character, you could teleport to wherever your character was, or do like healing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have it to where it would be same gendered, and people who took private servers actually had to modify some of the programming in the game to enable it.
Mm-hmm. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, from what I read of the story, the fix is only for the problems with the side effects caused by the glitch. And that would be a great way to kind of resolve this scenario. So that way it's like, okay, if people kind of figured out how to work the system and get two guys in there, then whatever. And I think that's a good way to do it. And I think we are headed in the right direction, folks, culturally. Like, I look at games like Mass Effect, and yes, I know, here I am bringing up that game again. But, guys, it's done so well in that series that I there's a reason why I really love Mass Effect. And games like The Sims and other games. And you look at what's happening culturally, is that what did we have? Three states that went for same-sex marriage in the past, 2 weeks or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the times are changing. And you know, eventually this is something that when the culture changes, the games that are commentary on culture, such as a game like Tomodachi Collection, will update to reflect that as well. But, you know, for right now, I don't believe gay marriage is legal in Japan. So it's probably why they didn't think to really put it in there as a fully fleshed out thing, and why it is still kind of a bug that the two guys actually make the baby, which, you know, you would obviously is not biologically possible, although certainly there are many, 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 many other ways for gay couples, both male and female, to adopt a baby or have a surrogate or whatever to do that.
You do know science is working on that, right?
I wouldn't doubt it. And there was the whole pregnant man thing a while ago, but that's, you know.
By a lot, physically.
Right.
Female parts.
Right.
In a dude.
Right. Yeah. Biologically.
Yes. But they actually are working on using cloning technology so that two people of the same gender can have a child together.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying, science.
So I think generally, culturally, and I'm not trying to get too political on this show, but obviously, you know, it's an issue. It's kind of important to me. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's more and more becoming not a big fucking deal. And that's really what this should be, is it's not a big fucking deal if two guys want to do something that doesn't affect your life whatsoever. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. So what do you think, Dark Soccer, about this Tomodachi collection? I think people are just... I think, unfortunately, the sensationalism of certain gaming websites and so forth tended to make this story a bigger deal than it is. But I think certainly there's got to be Nintendo kind of looking at this going, oh, well, I guess if people are going to have these tumblers and so forth about it, maybe this is something we should have thought of putting in there in the first place. I don't know. What do you think, Jamie?
I think it should have been there from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's possible... I mean, clearly the glitch is causing some problems, and I have no problem with them fixing those effects of the glitch, but I would want them to see them leave in the option, actually even make it, if they could incorporate some way to make that a regular feature in the game instead of just it being a glitch and using that to fix the problems, then that would be the way I would go.
And I would also request that they actually bring this game over to America or, you know... so I can feel like I know what the fuck I'm talking about with this game, because I'm going to be honest, I don't. I can only really go off of screenshots and little YouTubes and things I see of the game and my assumptions. But, you know,
I would play it.
Yeah, I'd like to know a little more about what this game is
well,
in the first place.
Tomodachi means friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's buddy game.
All right, well, let's move on. Oh, quickly, I'm going to close out the poll here. Here's the final results of our poll. The winner, why did EA get rid of the online pass? 57% of the vote, there's something about the new consoles. Second place, they're going to rely on increased DLC. So there you go. Those are the results of the live poll. Thank you guys for voting at live.vognetwork.com. Let's move on to the next story, Dark Sakura.
In other news, now this is probably why I've had Sega on the brain for a little while, is Sega is, well, we've always known that Sega's been in bed with Nintendo. We have no idea what they're doing in this bed, but they're doing stuff. In this case, Sega has announced that they are in an exclusive partnership with Nintendo of America. They are gay married to Nintendo. Having clone babies in the form of a hedgehog. basically, Nintendo consoles are going to be exclusive for the next 3 Sonic the Hedgehog titles. And they put out the announcement via Nintendo Direct during the week. And they've only put out the names of the first 2 titles. The 3rd one is still to be announced, but these are Wii U and a 3DS. They're saying that it would be the ideal platform, that's a quote, to showcase Sonic.
Hmm.
Of course, though, since people aren't buying Wii U's, Sega is once again showing that their business sense is kind of in the U.S. And this is Sega of America and Sega Europe. I didn't see the official Sega of Japan.
Is this really a big deal, though? Because, I mean, Sonic games, not known for their quality these days so much.
They've had several Sonic games that have been exclusive to the Nintendo platform. Sonic Colors, Sonic and the Secret Rings.
Mario and Sonic in the Olympics, which sells really well. Those games sell very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they're doing another one, which is one of those 3 games they're doing, which makes sense. So, but yeah, but that also, it sold well because the Wii sold well, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But the Wii U's not.
Well... that's going to suck for Sega then, I guess.
Because Sega's really had it, especially Sega of America, has had a great track record.
I wish they'd come out and said it's going to be Phantasy Star Online 2 that's going to be on the Wii U. That would have given me something to get really excited about, which I'm surprised something like that isn't happening. Well, you never know. E3 might be interesting.
Speaking of which, Rob, you need to play that with me on PC.
Is there an English patch yet for that?
Yeah, it's mostly English. It's English enough that you could be able to play it.
I might have to do that. We'll see.
It's actually super fun. It's exactly like the last one. So it's good.
Shadow Next Gen in our chat room with an interesting perspective saying, Rob, with Nintendo helping to work on Sonic now, though, maybe it will have that magic Nintendo polish that a lot of first-party Nintendo titles have. Could Nintendo, to Nintendo's involvement make this sweeter?
And actually, I do have to make a slight rebuttal, which I've said in the chat room. Sonic Generations was pretty damn good.
Okay, fair enough.
But it was also out on multiple platforms. And I've got it on PC. It's fun on PC. So I don't think it's going to make a difference. It just has to not be a turd of a game. You know, like, what was the last really big turd that in the Sonic franchise? Sonic Adventure 2? No, Sonic Adventure 2 was okay. The first Sonic Adventure was good.
Sonic 4. Sonic 4.
Yeah.
It was a huge turd.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't even, it didn't even, you know, do much in the way of being fun. It just wasn't.
So, Tiger Claw theorizes in our chat room, what if part of the deal with Sega was that one of the Nintendo characters makes a cameo somewhere in the new Sonic game? Oh boy.
Anything. Do you think that plumber can run that fast?
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. All right. So we will see what happens, with this partnership. Some other stuff coming out of the Nintendo Direct, though. Loki?
Yeah, they finally announced a date for Wonderful 101, which is on September 15th in North America and August 23rd in Europe. And that's all they said about it. So fantastic. Also, Super Luigi U, the DLC is arriving on the 20th of June. And then if you don't want to get it as DLC, you can pay an extra $10 and get a standalone disc, which is coming out August 25th. I think the reason they're doing that is just to say, hey, look, we have games coming out for the Wii U. Because I don't know why else they would do that. I kind of figured they would do that later on when they do like a Game of the Year edition of like new Super Mario Brothers with, you know, new Luigi U. And that.
Because, again, not every household in America is online. Granted, if you're online, if you're not online, but you have a Wii U, I'm not sure how that works. You must live in a real remote part of the U.S. or something. But I think there's enough people without online that justify it. Also, that the Wii U could be in a kid's bedroom, which maybe doesn't have online or something. You know,
I guess. But they're putting it out, so that I guess that's kind of cool. And then last but not least, this is kind of neat because I'm not going to E3, so you get to play unreleased Wii U games at Best Buy during E3. They're going to have demo kiosks at over 100 locations, and I guess it's going to be happening starting June 9th. And no idea what games are going to be there. I think I want to say that the Mario and Sonic at the Olympics is going to be there, and new Luigi U, and then don't know about the other stuff, but they're going to have some games there. So I actually probably will go check that out just because I don't get to go to, you know, E3.
Very interesting how Nintendo is really changing up the E3 strategy this year. I mean, granted, we had a couple years ago, and I think this still happens to some extent, Microsoft, I remember one year, went very big on bringing E3 home where you could download all the demos and so forth.
I really wish they would do that. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was in 2006.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic because they had the Lost. It's like, hey, we just showed you this awesome Lost Planet game. Now you can go download it. And then, you know, download them for MotoGP. They had like three or four games on there, and that was awesome. And now they don't do that anymore. I mean, I really wish they would do that because a lot of the majority of the people that are paying attention to E3 can't go to that.
Why do you think Nintendo is making you go to Best Buy and not just letting you download them to your Wii U?
Partnership.
I bet it's part partnership, and it's also part so you can get the sales pitch while you're there about picking up a Wii U. Because, well, you know, Nintendo has just like Microsoft and just like any other company, has the people
to
go out to the stores.
They're trying to sell the console, too, because the problem isn't getting people that own the Wii U to buy more games. It's getting people to buy the Wii U.
Right. Yeah. So why not have those people in the stores ready to try to sell the consoles? I think it's a great great concept. Don't you want to buy a console today?
No.
Especially if they end up dropping the price, which I know is a long shot, but you know, now it's on sale. It's even cheaper than it was before. Don't you want to get one? Have somebody there to put on a little bit of that pressure. So,
do you think we'll see a new see a Wii U Animal Crossing this year?
A Wii U Animal Crossing this year? No, not with the 3DS. It would cannibalize the 3DS one too much, because that one
probably
is going to be coming out within weeks of E3. So, yeah, probably next year.
Like, it's really going to be anything innovative.
Yeah, right. Well, you can sit down now.
Ooh! You know what? I could sit down before. I could go get a latte and sit down.
But now you can... What were the other big things? There's benches.
And you're the mayor. You can swim.
Well, they... Okay, so to be fair, they did kind of change the main plot of sorts.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sorry, but I have virtual console games like it did in the GameCube version, because that was awesome.
I actually liked my indentured servitude to Tom Nook.
And considering that, you know, we're selling virtual console games for 30 cents, you know, why can't you put some NES games in there? It's not like you're losing money on that.
So Nintendo really wants to change the rules this year, because they're doing the whole, you know, forget the press conference, we're going to do Nintendo Direct, and now we're going to be taking the show on the road to Best Buy, too. They are literally taking their case directly to fans. I do think it's smart, though, in the position Nintendo's in. There's too much fucking smart when it comes to Nintendo on the internet, and then that kind of spills over into the media. So Nintendo's just like, you know what? We're going to take our case directly to the fanboys who will pitch up a storm.
Yeah.
Who needs PR when you got people to do it for free?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how this works out for him, because it could be a game changer. I am not going to sit here, though, and say E3 is dead or dying, because there was a time when E3 didn't have anything to do with the media and all this stuff. You know, before the internet, there was still E3. And granted, you would see, you know, screenshots and things in Nintendo Power, but it was not the blowout thing that it is today. E3 started because it's the one time during the year when everybody in the industry kind of gets together under the same roof. And there's a lot of wheeling and dealing that happens at E3 that the media doesn't even know about. Like, think about it. One year I went to E3, I think it was 2006, maybe it might have been 2010, I don't know. Apple had a booth at E3, or excuse me, not a booth. Apple had a conference room at E3. It was a behind closed doors thing. And that a lot of people were thinking, ooh, is Apple doing a game console? Ooh, you know, and that whole thing. No, Apple was probably showing off the iPhone or the iPad, depending on whatever year it was. That's probably what they were showing in that little room to developers who were there at the same roof. That had nothing to do with the media. Apple was not rolling that out to the media yet, but Apple was probably trying. Again, this is a huge theory here because I don't know anything, but I'm assuming that, you know, that's part of the wheeling and dealing that happens at E3 that has nothing to do with the media interaction. The media could not come to E3, and E3, I think, would still happen. It might not be as big of a deal, but I think there would still be the necessity for the show. So, anyhow, tangent. But let's move on with something that doesn't have to do with Nintendo. It has to do with Steam, which we brought up earlier in the show. Kind of something interesting on Steam. It's called Steam Trading Cards, and it's...
I forgot I played Portal 2 because of this.
Did you get in the beta for this?
Yes. I actually have three that extra passes I can share.
Oh, give me one, because I went into the beta and I wanted to get this. All right, well, maybe give some away to listeners or something. But anyway, Steam trading cards are the new thing from Valve, and what Steam... Maybe you can speak on this better than I can, Loki. I guess Steam trading cards, they let you get Steam rewards when you play the game. So it's like they're not the achievements, but... achievements that will actually unlock these cards that you can then use to, when you get a set together, get like what, a new background or an increase in your friends list or something like that.
It's like hats for non-hat games, because you can generate these too. And
oh, can you pay for them?
I think the trading, I think maybe there might be some money exchange.
Well, they're probably just trying to add to the trading pool and that thing. But it does seem like, in a way, it's all the same games. I mean, yet again, it's Dota and Half-Life and Portal, which you would expect. Of course, the Valve games are going to be involved. But they do have Don't Starve and Counter-Strike Global Offensive, so at least there's some other games participating. But I would like to see more third parties kind of get in on this to really give value added to this. Because
well, and I didn't really understand how it works either, as far as like... Oh, see, here's the thing. I went back to play Portal 2. I was just going to play Portal 2, and I noticed I don't have any of my achievements on Portal 2. Like, they all disappeared somehow.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. so I started playing it again, but I haven't gotten any cards or anything. And then today I got a notification saying that I got some new items in my inventory. And so now I have three items marked as Steam Trading Card Beta Access. And it says Steam Trade Card Beta Access Extra Copy grants early access to the Steam Trading Cards Beta, game badges, and new profile. Join Steam Trade Carding Group and post your feedback in the discussions area. Select add to my game library to activate, which I tried to do because I didn't see it on my library, and it won't let me do that.
Well, you need to send one of those to the username I just private messaged you. So I can check that out.
I will do that.
Hooray! All right. What do you think? What do you think of the whole thing as a concept, though? Let's just assume it works as
it's neat. It's more interesting than trophies. I mean, because a lot of times, achievement.
Yeah, just bring value to that. I noticed Act Deft in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com saying you can buy the trading cards through the Steam Community Market, and he says I sold two extra passes. I got $1.50 for each. It's like selling stuff in the Diablo real money auction house. Except Valve didn't probably take a dollar out of that. Sounds interesting. I guess any excuse to go back and play Portal and Half-Life and all that, right? Let's move on, Dark Sakura.
Well, this is something that has my hubby super, super excited. In fact, he was practically bouncing in his seat over this. Gran Turismo 6 has been announced. And it's going to be, there's a demo going to be out in July. The information actually hit, the European Sony news networks not too long ago. They're saying that it's going to be on the PS3 and that they're basically going to keep it on that system. They don't say anything about it being out for the next-gen system. They're going to have GT Academy in 2013 as well. And that this new version is going to have 1,200 cars, 33 locations, and 71 layouts. So that's 7 more locations than Gran Turismo 5 had. And it will have the UK Silverstone Circuit.
Why not?
It says new physics engine, new modeling, all kinds of stuff.
And I will buy it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Dan goes, and I will buy it.
He came in,
raised his hands in the air, and goes, and I will buy it.
Well, interesting, though, that it's not PlayStation 4. I think that's the thing that really shocked people is that, PlayStation 4 has this whole racing club, or what do they call in that game? The
Drive Club?
Drive Club or whatever. But yet there's no Gran Turismo. And this is going to be on the PlayStation 3. Like, without the PlayStation 4 being backwards compatible, Gran Turismo 6 is a great reason not to upgrade.
Yeah, but also put it out this way. If you want to guarantee sales, why not put it out for the system that everyone already has?
Well, yeah, but that's going to be a problem when the new systems start coming to get people to buy them.
I don't think so. I think that they're going to have maybe some special edition come out later that everyone's going to go, ooh, we need this instead.
Gran Turismo 6 HD or something?
Something like that.
What Up G in our chat says, each of the PlayStation systems have had two main Gran Turismo games, so I expect PlayStation 4 to have Gran Turismo 7 and 8. So maybe there's just a pattern that's trying to not be broken here.
That's a good point. And actually, they were saying that for Gran Turismo 5, 10 million copies were sold. And that it is the Gran Turismo franchise itself is their most successful franchise ever, especially in Europe. 70 million copies over the span of the series.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's travel around.
I think it's a wise move to put it on PS3.
I guess, but it's very strange. It seems a little bit like cannibalizing PlayStation 4, but I guess they feel there'll still be plenty of people wanting to pick up a PlayStation 4 for Drive Club. So, I don't know.
See, I have a feeling that they're going to really push a Gran Turismo 7 for PS4 and make that a big selling point, like around, say, some sort of major holiday or big sales period.
Yeah, but it's just weird to me that Gran Turismo 6 and Drive Club for PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 are all this, like, around the same time, essentially. It's weird.
They're saying that they may release another version on PlayStation 4 later on after launch.
Of course.
See, that's pretty much what I was anticipating.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's travel around the world and check out some games that will be coming out a little bit sooner than Gran Turismo 6, as in games that are out this week. And we'll start with Loki in the U.S.
This week, there's actually quite a few things. Starting off, Resident Evil Revelations HD is coming out on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Wii U. And then I know the game that everybody's super excited for, Fast and the Furious Showdown, which is being developed by the guys that did like the NASCAR games. That's coming out on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, the Wii U, and the 3DS. And then there's the Worms Collection, which is kind of a re-release of some of the Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network games. That's coming out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 this week. Also, Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes on the Wii U. And on the 3DS, on Friday, actually, we'll be getting Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. And that's going to be coming out as well. And last game this week, Sniper Elite V2 on the Wii U. So, hey, there's Wii U games coming out. Unfortunately, they are games that have come out like a long time ago, like a year ago. So, give or take.
All right, let's travel over to Japan and check out some of the releases that are going to happen over there. Starting off with the PlayStation 3 this week on May 23rd, Biohazard Revelations Unveiled Edition. Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend was getting a price cut. That's going into the Best Hits collection. Kamen Rider Batride War in regular and premium editions is out this week from Namco Bandai. As they call it over there, Bandai Namco. Terraria is getting a Japanese release, believe it or not, and that will be out this week, as well as The Sims 3 Pets getting a price reduction on PlayStation 3. Also on PS3 this week, Z/X, Zillions of Enemy X, Zetsukai no Crusade. Yes, that is Zillions of Enemy X. How many? Zillions.
Rob, you just made me sad.
Why?
Because that just makes me actually want a zillion game. Like on Master System, only all updated and new.
On the Xbox 360 this week, Biohazard Revelations Unveiled Edition is there as well in a regular and a limited set. That's pretty much all you get on the 360 this week. Going to the Vita, Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend also gets a price cut there. And Valhalla Knights 3 comes out this week from Marvelous Entertainment over in Japan. Checking out the Wii U, yes, there is a game. It's Biohazard Revelations Unveiled Edition is out there as well. So all the consoles in Japan getting that. On the 3DS this week, there is a new 3DS XL model, or as they call it, the LL. It's the Shin Megami Tensei 4 limited model, because Shin Megami Tensei 4 is out this week in Japan. That's going to be a pretty big release. I'm sure there's some people going to be importing that one. You can actually get that retail or download. There's a whole accessory set. You can get a skin for your three. If you're a Shin Megami Tensei fan, you're probably importing tons of shit this week from Japan. Good luck to your wallet. If you are not a Shin Megami Tensei fan, perhaps Tamagotchi no Doki Doki Dream Omisechi would be of interest to you. Yes, it's another Tamagotchi game on the 3DS. I think you should just get Shin Megami Tensei 4 if you're going to import one or the other. Just saying. Lastly, on the PSP, yes, they are still making games for the PSP in Japan. Zero G no Kane to Cinderella Halloween Wedding in regular and deluxe editions, and Rakuen Danshi coming out this week. What is Cinderella Wedding? That is not, I don't think, the Disney Cinderella. This looks like one of those games based off an anime, or it looks like one of those romance games, because I see girl and guy in the bar, girl hanging off guy, guy kissing girl, and all this stuff. So it must be one of those series. All right, that's it for Japan. Let's travel over to the UK.
On the 22nd, we have The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing. Midna, stop eating that! Sorry. Midna was eating my headphone cable. On the 24th, we have Donkey Kong Country Returns for 3D. Sorry, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. Dust and Elysian Tale, The Fast and Furious Showdown, Big Whoop, Resident Evil Revelations, and Sniper Elite V2.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, test. All right. There it is, UK. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week. Loki.
All right. So Nintendo has kind of taken an action against these Let's Play videos on YouTube. What's going to happen is partnering, I guess, with YouTube, they're going to be using their content ID match system to basically take the ad revenue that these Let's Play videos are getting if they're monetized. And that's all going to be going to Nintendo. And then also, they're going to be having ads, I guess, before and after the videos as well. I guess it's going to somehow automatically get added in for Nintendo stuff. So that kind of sucks, I guess. Although, I mean, I know YouTube has policies against the Let's Play stuff, you know, although there's still a ton of it on there. And it's kind of, you know, confusing because some companies will let you do Let's Plays on their stuff. Like Minecraft, for example, there's a big thing in saying, hey, film whatever you want, do whatever you want. You know, we're not going to, it's cool. Yeah. So, and I know other, they're not taking the videos down, but I mean, the fact that they're kind of like, hey, we're taking all the profits from it. That's kind of like, I almost wish they would just take them down instead. You know what I mean? It's kind of a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Well, the thing I was most surprised to learn from this whole story is that there's people that make livings off of doing Let's Play videos. I had no idea you could make that kind of money on YouTube. And I'm like, wow, I'm in the wrong business. Apparently, yes, I need to do some sassy Let's Play videos or something.
I was joking with Rob saying that, hey, because I do monetize some of the videos I make for YouTube just for shits and giggles because I know I'm not going to get millions of hits on it. But, you know, hey, let's just see what kind of ad money we'll or kind of money will rake in from this. With the few videos that I have, and a few of them have like 1,000 views or something, a whopping 26 cents.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm retiring.
Do you think Nintendo is evil for what they did?
I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I understand that, you know, they're saying, oh, you guys shouldn't be making money off of our content, but it's less about making money off their content and more of just like, you know, it's commentary and stuff. You can't really do a Let's Play video or like a commentary on, you know, gameplay without showing the gameplay. I mean, unless you have some sort of weird like riff tracks thing that you do.
I've seen a lot of anger directed at Nintendo on the internet this week over this whole thing. And it's like, okay, to some extent I do get it. And I feel I can understand where the YouTube community feels a little bit slighted on this. And I can certainly understand, hey, this is the internet and we can just pick up and move it to somewhere else. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of that talk going on right now. But you guys, Microsoft did this in October of last year. In fact, I believe it was October 9th was the date the news went out, is that Microsoft, now they did something a little different, but they actually put it in their whole little terms of service that you cannot earn money from these games like Halo 4 and so forth, and that if you cannot enroll in a YouTube partner program if you are playing one of these Microsoft games.
But here's how that's how's
I just think a lot of gamers forgot about that in their anger, because everybody's like, oh, Nintendo's just doing this because the Wii U sucks and all this stuff, and I'm like, well, Microsoft did the same fucking thing 7 months ago. Does that mean the 360 sucks?
But they do this, they're doing this now, and then, and of course we don't know it's confirmed yet, but the rumor is they're going to be kind of rolling out the same features that the PlayStation 4 has, where you can share videos and gameplay and stuff. If they have it where you can live stream and do commentary over that stuff, so you're not going to be able to monetize those videos that you put out there, even though they're making it super easy for you to do that. They just want you to freely advertise their game without any sort of, you know. So that's the thing. It's like you're kind of advertising their game. It's not like you could spoil, I guess, stuff from the game, but it's not the same as playing a game. It's not like if it was a movie, like you're watching a movie or something like that. It's gameplay. There's actual, you know, interaction that's involved in each one of those, you know, experiences could be unique depending on the game, I guess. But I wouldn't say
those interactions were designed by Nintendo. That's the place I fault that argument.
You want the word to get out of your game. You want your game to look fun. You want it to get out to the people. Whether they're seeing it like on, if I come over and watch someone playing a game, how's that any different than watching it over the internet?
I'm not saying I necessarily disagree completely that Nintendo made a bad decision with this, but I also think there's a lot of gamer entitlement going on here that you guys, if it was a movie, do you think I could put up a copy of Star Trek Into Darkness with my commentary on YouTube and not have that get struck down with probably something a lot worse than the monetary? It would be a copyright strike. You know, I could, if I were to put something up, You know who's really fucking crazy about their intellectual property is sports. The NBA and the NFL, especially the NFL. If I were to put up like classic football clips and be talking over them and stuff, they would come after me legally. It would be a lot worse than what Nintendo's doing here. And well, I kind of think there's gamer entitlement going on here, and this is just a rude awakening. And I'm sorry, but I think gamers are getting it a lot better than some of these other...
Well, Rob, also keep in mind, like, for another example of this is the Rift Tracks guys have to get licensing.
Which, don't they just do their sales that they don't attach it
well,
to the
movies,
right?
Well, they don't have to get licensing. Yeah. They only have to get licensing for when they're actually doing, like, a show, like an actual movie in a theater with, you know, the Rift Tracks.
But most of the stuff they do is in the public domain now.
Yeah, but anything else that they do, like a Rift Tracks for like a Transformers movie or something like that, they don't have to get permission from, you know, Paramount to do that. They're just, it's an audio track that they make. It doesn't have anything. They're not releasing it with the video on there. But that's the same thing, though, is the whole reason that you're having this share thing on the PlayStation 4 and stuff is to kind of, you want to share those moments with, you know, your friends and stuff like that. But if you're going to, like, start, you know, say, yeah, okay, we want you to get that footage out there, and then start hammering them down. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but that footage was too long. I'm sorry, but you're trying to make some money off of this. They're not going to be motivated to continue doing those Let's Play videos if they're going to make no money off of it, because they're trying to put out content, and if you're saying, well, you can't make any money off this, I mean, that's I know it's a stretch, but it's almost like saying, you know, we're telling you what you can do, what you can and can't do with this game. Like, oh, sorry, you can't sell it used. We're telling you what you can and can't do.
In part, that's where I do agree with you, is that this wasn't a smart PR move on Nintendo's part on a time where they need a lot of good news. And I think what should happen here, and this is probably a limitation of YouTube, quite honestly, is that maybe there needs to be something where it's a split revenue stream or something like that. But Loki, if people are making money, they're making a living off of Let's Play videos, that tells me, what, $40,000 a year minimum, right, to live off of. You got maybe in some parts of the country $30,000 or less. I don't know. But you're talking, multiply that by how many people on YouTube are doing it for a living, 50, 100.
But that's a big chunk of views. A lot of views required. It's like thousands of views to get like a penny. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, I'm going to look it up right now because I can look at my monetization and see what exactly, you know, I'm bringing in, I guess.
But,
yeah.
But again, you know, I'm not dissing the talent of these individuals and their funny, witty stuff and so forth, because that would be kind of biting the hand that, you know, makes up this show here. But then again, we're not displaying images of the game in motion the whole time during the show or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's stupid, though, that they...
Well, we're also not trying to make a living off of it.
Well, here's the problem, too, is they basically say, okay, yeah, we're going to have this partnership program that we're going to partner with, you know, IGN or something like that, or, you know, Machinima or something like that. And then you have to become an affiliate with them, you know, but they may not let you become an affiliate with them. So, once again, you're giving these big guys, how's an indie supposed to shine if, you know, you're just saying, oh, sorry, you can't show any of our gameplay. We only want IGN to show our gameplay.
Find another way to monetize it.
But how do you do that? I mean,
if I knew, I would have the money.
I'm saying, though, that if there's another way to monetize it, they're going to still hit you for the same thing, that you're making money off of our videos or off our content. You know, what if it's like PayPal donations or something like that for a Twitch stream or something? I'm sure people make money off of that, but it's just, I don't know. I think if there's going to be a standardized way that people are going to make money off of videos, whether it be monetization via ads or whatever, I don't know, maybe they can cater those ads, you know, for those Nintendo videos to Nintendo products. Something like that. That seems to make more sense to me.
Yeah, I do think, again, I think the smarter thing for Nintendo to do would have been to partner with these people to come to a solution that has both people in mind. Either it's split revenue or it's ads that support Nintendo or whatever it is. But by putting the hammer down, they made themselves look like dicks. But Woo! My point is, they are well within their legal right to do so. And I think people need to give Nintendo a little bit of a break here, is that when you hear about that people are making a living off of this, I mean, Nintendo is entitled to some of that money.
I'm rolling in the money. I just made 7 more cents. I'm at 31 cents. Anyways, here's a good example of right here. So some of the movie or some of the videos I've been uploading, like different Ouya videos and stuff like that. The one that I have the most views on so far is like a how to sideload apps tutorial, I guess. It's only a few minutes long. So I have 2,170 views, 6,977 minutes, 24 cents is what I've made off of that.
Wow.
So just to give you an idea of how many views you're going to... You have to get millions, millions, and millions of views combined over your, you know, your channel. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's just Joe Nobody, you know, putting out a Let's Play video is not going to make a ton of money. And they really want that ad money. I mean, really? You want that, like, maybe a buck that they're going to make if they get thousands of views? I mean, seriously? That seems a little greedy.
All right, going to a couple more chat comments here, and then we got to move on with the show. But SSJ100 Matt says, the problem is that a lot of people on the internet feel that they are entitled to, or have the right to use and access any sort of media freely and without having to pay for it. Trying to convince people otherwise leads to hate and venom being spewed. In many ways, these people's opinions are so unwavering that no matter what facts you tell them, people will still feel that sense of entitlement. Shadow Next Gen says, the people who make these videos might take a few hours to make them. They don't have the right to make money off of the new Zelda title that Nintendo took years and millions of dollars to make.
Yeah, but look at what kind of money is Nintendo making off their title versus if the amount of effort Nintendo's putting into their title versus the return versus the person that spent like an hour to make a video and his return. I think it's fair. Because you look at the amount of money that they're making. It's not like the guy that's making the Let's Play videos making more money than Nintendo on these titles. I mean, I just don't see where Nintendo is necessarily losing money on this. Are they suggesting that people are watching these Let's Plays and going, yep, that's enough of that game. I don't need to buy it now. I'm sorry. That's just like saying, oh, hey, someone pirated our game. We lost a sale. You can't attribute that. It doesn't make... There's no data to correlate lost sales. Make all the excuses you want, but the fact of the matter is your system's not selling well because you don't have any games on it.
MM2K says, YouTube just needs to establish a standard fee against revenue of anyone using copyrighted material, maybe 5 to 10%. Again, though, I mean, I'm with you on that for, like, games, but, like, movies, I can't post a copy of Star Trek Into Darkness on YouTube and expect that, you know, oh, Paramount gets 5 to 10% because I'm giving my sassy commentary over this movie that just came out, you know? There's got to be something there.
Here's what needs to happen, and this is, I think, would be fine. Nintendo needs to be one of those companies like Mojang with Minecraft saying, hey, you know what? We're cool with you putting the videos out there and, you know, do with whatever. But, you know, if you monetize our videos, then maybe that they have Nintendo ads on them or something like that. I don't know. Obviously, that's not something that they can control. But, hey, if they can go out and seek with this content ID service and somehow monetize all those or get those videos to have the ad revenue go back to Nintendo, then I'm sure that they have a way to target ads to Nintendo products. And I think that would be fair enough because they're getting their products out there and they're advertised. The people are more inclined to put out these videos to spread the word about these Nintendo games. And, you know, like, for example, like, if I didn't know what, you know, I haven't played new Super Mario Brothers U, and I watched some Let's Play videos, I'm like, hey, you know what, that looks like a pretty fun game. Maybe I should go buy it. If you're going to try to get these people not to put these videos out there, I'm never going to hear about this game.
My final thought on this whole thing is that, you know, again, although Nintendo maybe didn't have the best timing with this sort of move, this is not something that's going to be limited to Nintendo, and it is not limited to Nintendo. Again, Microsoft did it. Sega did it with the whole, Shining Force or something? They were taking this one random game, they're taking down all these videos. You know, this is still a new media that a lot of companies are exploring, and I'm sorry, but if you are just using this to further your Nintendo hate boner, you need to spread the hate around equally. Your position needs to be the same for all these companies that are doing it. So that's kind of one of my big things with this, is that at least if you're going to be mad at everybody. All right, let's move on and do one more story here before the classic game of the week. And hooray, it's a porn story. Yay.
Kids like porn.
Yay. Here it is. Hardcore pornography apparently coming to the next Xbox. At least that's what the headlines all say.
Yeah.
Here's what it's really about. All right. Sugar DVD. You know, they do films like Hairy Asian Schoolgirls Masturbate. That's a thing. Now, you know what?
I think that's just a made-up title.
If it exists, it's on the internet somewhere. All right. They're going to bring their streaming services to the next Xbox. It's already on PlayStation 3. You can get it for $7.95 a month. Now, I believe this is not something where you exactly download an app and that whole thing. It's just you access it through the web browser.
Yep.
All right? This is just it's just a website just that's like optimized
just
for the
system. They had the
that's
same
it.
Story come out when the Xbox 360 got Internet mm-hmm. Explorer. They're like, we're the first people to have porn on the Xbox. No, I'm sorry. It had a DVD drive. You were not the first to have porn on the Xbox. It also streams videos, so.
Is there really a porn called Don't Tell My Wife I Ass Fucked the Babysitter? That's a pretty great parody. So I think that's Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. That's like a little parody on that.
That sounds hilarious.
I think that's actually a real porn.
There you go. Well, you'll find out on the new Xbox very soon. Here's the quote from Sugar DVD's Rebecca Bolin, quote, any console would benefit from having unlimited HD adult content at the click of a button. Dark Sakura, did you hear that? All you got to do is click your mouse.
Yay!
Yes.
By the way, Rob, that does exist. I looked it up.
It is an actual, yes. I was going to say, they have a lot of them.
My search history is hilarious.
What was that one New Year's Eve? It was got to be 2006 or 2007, where we were looking up the pornography on the Nintendo Wii web browser and looking at what like
pterodactyl porn,
XTube, and we found the pterodactyl porn, which was a guy in a pterodactyl suit having sex with some girl, and it was hilarious. Just the little motions the guy would make was.
And then we were trying to look
comedy.
Up for some reason we were looking up Donkey Punch, and there was. There was a guy dressed up like a donkey.
That would actually punch, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. When in doubt, more porn stories. All right, let's travel to a time when, you know, a porn game, porn on the console, was Custer's Revenge and Bubble Bath Babes and Miss Nude World 96. That was porn in gaming. It's the classic game of the week where Dark Soccer is going to walk into her classic gaming vault, and she can do that tonight. She's literally right there. And
I am.
Find a game that she says, hey, you kids should be playing this game, damn it. Now, I don't think she picked a porno game, so don't get too excited. But Dark Soccer picked something just as good as a porno. What's the classic game of the week?
Today's classic game is Hagane, The Final Conflict, which is not a game that came out widespread in America. It was one of those blockbuster-only games like Final Fight Guy. And so this is a game I do not own. I would love to own it, however, it is $700 on eBay right now.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Let me get to
some of the audio from the game here.
Okay. It came out in 1994, and it's a side-scrolling action game. It was developed by Keita Amemiya and Red Entertainment. I almost said Redertainment, you know, one of our listeners. It was Red Entertainment. It was published by Hudson Soft for the Super Nintendo. And like I said, in the U.S., it was only one of those blockbuster video games. Now, I do have the other blockbuster game, Final Fight Guy. That one goes for $300. Just saying. So anyway, the story behind this is that the Huma and Koma ninja clans are basically in a big rivalry against each other for the Holy Grail. And the Huma clan is based off of the Chinese zodiac. And you play this one guy who is in full armor. And Dan and I, when Dan was playing, because we have a version of it. Quote, version.
Emulator.
Emulator. Yeah. Dan was talking about some of the resemblance to Strider.
I was going to say, you love this game because it's freaking Strider.
Yeah,
it's a Strider
you know
rip-off.
Dan likes anything Strider or
it's
Strider
like,
related.
It's Strider meets Shinobi is what I'm looking at here.
Yeah. And this is actually a game I would... I don't even care if it's just the Super Famicom version, which is still like $50 on eBay here. I would love to have this game, but the big problem about it is that it's freaking hard. Super hard and no save. That's why emulators
Holy
are awesome.
Moly.
Save states. But basically, you're playing as ninja cyborg who is going to kill all of the Coma Clan. Rawr. And basically, it's just a really, really cool side-scrolling game. Very difficult. But one thing that it did get some less than stellar reviews on was actually its graphics. It was said not to show off the best of Super Nintendo at the time. So, I don't think Hagane is on Virtual Console. It was sort of...
It wasn't really... I mean, considering it was only released to video stores or whatever, it wasn't really...
I mean, we haven't seen Final Fight Guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was a very limited release. You could only rent this game at Blockbuster. And then,
Hold on, Eric RPG in our chat room says that they had it at his video store, so it may not have just been Blockbuster, but maybe, like, video stores in general.
Well, no, these were actually released only for Blockbuster. If they showed up at other video stores, then they were purchased from Blockbuster.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So, because Blockbuster had, like, a limited release deal just on certain Japanese-only games.
Hmm.
So this was one of them, and I honestly would love to have this game in my collection. It's really, really difficult, but a very rich, good side-scrolling game.
All right.
And don't say fucking Blockbuster, because Blockbuster is dead, pretty much. The one around the corner from my house is gone. They are vanishing.
I saw one in a strip mall the other day, and I was like, oh my god, it's a museum.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, like, that's where I picked up a copy of Parappa 2. Okay, right. So I'm checking on eBay right now. There's one for $295.
Jeez.
One for a buy it now of $700, and another one without the box for
$400. Dang.
A Japanese copy's $45. So I don't even care. I, you know me, I have all kinds of imports anyway, so... But I'm putting up the $700 one on in chat just so people can see the cover and everything.
All right. Well, there it is, your classic game of the week, Hagane, for the Super Nintendo. Good luck finding it.
Yeah, and if you find it, give it to me.
as a tip.
Yeah, because you love me.
All right, that's going to do it for part A of Orange Lounge Radio, but don't go anywhere. We have plenty more to come, including the Fugle question of the week, all about this controversial Nintendo Let's Play topic. More stories about EA and Nintendo. We're going to talk a little bit about the stuff from the Google press thing this week that has to do with Nintendo. A couple E3 stories for you guys, and plenty more, including your phone calls and emails, when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio.
Hi there, this is Redertainment, and you're participating with Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice. And I want to use my voice to tell you that Garrus ain't got nothing on Samantha Trainor.
Shots fired. Watch out, Darksoccer, shots fired.
What? Live!
Welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 505. In progress. Thanks to Redertainment for starting shit here on the second half of our show. Appreciate that. If you want to leave a bumper for our show, more information available in our forum at the VOG Network forums, vognetwork.com. We're finally getting a few of them in. I have another new one to play next week, so thanks to you guys. If you want to use your voice to tell our listeners something and possibly start a fight with Jamie in the process, go ahead and do so. So there you go.
You know what? You know what?
What?
Haters
was there was another game that I played this week that I totally forgot. Let's see. Before we get into rapid fire news, there was a couple other things I wanted to bring up. One of them was there was another game that I played this week that I totally forgot to talk about, and that is Just Dance 4. Believe it or not, on the Xbox 360, because I think it's on several platforms. But Target was having a sale this week on all the Just Dance games for Kinect, $20. So I picked up Just Dance 4 for $20. I got to say, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. You know, I love music games, right? Uh-huh. And I've been very partial to the Dance Central series. And last time I remember playing a Just Dance game, I wasn't really into it. But I got to say, I really like, especially in Just Dance 4, well, A, the song list is very like, what the fuck? Like, there's some really, like, you know, they have the stuff you'd expect to hear, like some top 40 hits, like J-Lo, On the Floor, and Pink, So What? But then, like, there's these picks. They have a cover of The Time Warp.
Which,
what? Yeah, which is hilarious. They have Army of Lovers with Crucified. I don't know if you guys remember that
song. You love that song.
Remember that song? Seriously. Google that music video. It is hilarious. That song is in the game. It's great.
Does it have a video?
No, it doesn't have the original video. None of them have the original videos. But the Army of Lovers videos, all their videos were hilarious.
But is it at least have like a hilarious, because you know how they kind of dress up the actors? Like
They are dressed, like the little actors are all dressed up. They are dressed up for that. I actually haven't played that song because it's a higher difficulty and I've been warming up a little more into Just Dance. But I really like that they have these full workout modes where it'll actually do like a kind of like a warm-up little, like, you know, generic electro beat or whatever you pick, and then you'll do a bunch of songs and you do like a cool down. So it actually, the way it it's not just a bunch of songs on shuffle counting the calories.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that I really liked. So for $20, I was very happy with that. So that was a game I forgot to mention earlier. So there you go. I guess we can get into some rapid fire news now if you want.
Sure. So the folks behind The Incredible Machine, which I sunk a lot of hours into back first one of my first computer games, they are making...
I love that game, by the way.
Yes,
that
was, it's fantastic.
That's like, what do they call this? The Rube Goldberg machines or whatever?
Yeah.
Which reminds me, or as everybody knows it, the opening sequence to Pee-wee's Big Adventure with the Mr. T cereal. The little machine that makes
a breakfast. I pity the fools that don't eat my cereal.
Remember that? Oh, no, Mr. Eggman.
All right. So now they have a new game called Contraption Maker, and that's going to be coming out later this year. Apparently, they say it's also going to be mod-friendly and have some way to allow players to build more elaborate puzzles and machines that can interconnect with each other, and you can be able to share them over the internet. That's awesome. So, yeah, they'll be coming out. Probably have to pick that up because I love The Incredible Machine. And this is also cool. Another Kickstarter game called Auto Duel, and it's a multiplayer car combat game. So probably it's a good thing that David Jeff has signed on to help make this game. And on top of that, Zach Norman, the creator of Interstate 76 and Vigilante 8, well, at least I think he created Vigilante 8, but Vigilante 8, one of my most favorite car combat games. That's a pretty good pedigree right there. So looking forward to that. I'll have to maybe back that when that comes out. I don't know if they've actually released or have this out yet as a Kickstarter. Probably soon, though. And last but not least, the Assassin's Creed movie has a date, or at least a time frame, May 2015. I also saw, was it July 2016, beginning the Angry Birds movie. By then, I don't think Angry Birds will be a thing anymore, or at least anyone will care.
Right.
I mean, seriously, it's...
We can all hope.
A long time.
All right, before I get to my rapid-fire stories here, I have to... Dark Sakura, I see you chatting like crazy in our chat room tonight. Did I read that right? You said, had I not romanced Garrus in all 17 times you've beaten Mass Effect...
I think it's more than 17. I just made up a number.
You might have a problem.
No, I don't. Because I've...
17? That's a lot.
Because I do different stuff every time, except I always... Because, I'm sorry, all the other romances irritate the shit out of me.
No. I'm not even talking about the Garrus thing. You've beaten the game 17 times. That's a lot of times to beat a game. I don't think... But then again, I've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show probably 400 times. But I openly admit I have a problem there.
Keep in mind, I do a lot of character customization. Like, I play with the Gibbed editor.
Mm-hmm.
Actually beaten the game a bunch more times than I've done full playthroughs.
Justify.
Alien,
you know what? Shut up, Rob. Don't judge me, Mr. ABBA Collection.
You have Bobby Blackwolf in the chat room calling for an intervention. It's like I'm walking on sunshine.
You know what? I'm going to go play some Japanese Sonic Adventure. Sonic CD. Just to spite Bobby.
All right, you have fun.
I'll live stream that shit.
You have fun with that while I read the news about yet another Kickstarter. This is the world we live in, guys. But this is a really cool band. I know a lot of you like these guys. Anamanaguchi, the chiptune artist, they have a Kickstarter of their own up for Endless Fantasy, and they're very proud of the fact that they've completed this 22-track album over 3 years without any help from a label, to which I say, you guys go. That's awesome. And the goal for this, getting the CD out there, $50,000, yeah, they're sitting just under 200K right now, so safe to say they've met it with 13 days still to go. So if you pay, I believe, 15 or more, you get the CD pre-order of Endless Fantasy, and you get the digital download with that. And I know we have some of their tracks in rotation on Vogue and great chiptune artists, so congrats, guys. I don't know if this game would make $200,000, but it's sure worth a shot. Shaq Fighter is apparently a name that has been trademarked. Oh, yes, I'm sure you all remember Shaq Fu, which was, what, on Super Nintendo and Genesis, I think, as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was the fighting game that starred Shaq, and it's kind of a cult game, but it's one of those games that, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I remember Shaq Fu, and then you actually play it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember Shaq Fu. Well, there was also Shaq Down, which was a mobile game. They came out with that. Well, now, apparently, the folks that run the Shaq.com website, which I didn't even know existed until now, they registered a trademark for Shaq Fighter on May 8th. So I don't know if this is yet another mobile game. Maybe this is the Wii U's killer app that's going to get everybody to buy the console. Or maybe it's another mobile game.
Or maybe it's another, like, attempt at a 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. Shaq goes after terrorists.
Perhaps. I don't know. But hey, Shaq's pretty awesome, so this is going to be it's going to be worth checking out, if nothing else, but for the lols. Wave Forward, who did the games Adventure Time, Hey Ice King, Why'd You Steal Our Garbage, and of course DuckTales Remastered, which had everybody screaming like a little girl at PAX East, is going to be doing another Adventure Time game. It's called Adventure Time Explore the Dungeon Because I Don't Know.
I love Adventure Time.
Which is pretty much, you know, any video game ever, right? Explore the dungeon. Why? Because I don't know. You will be exploring the secret royal dungeon underneath the Candy Kingdom. And, of course, you can play as Finn, Jake, Marceline, and more. There will be co-op as well. It's going to be out Wii U, 360, PlayStation 3, PC, and 3DS.
I'm actually kind of excited about it because the last game was only 3DS. So it would be, or in, oh, 3DS and DS.
Also happening, Regular Show, Mordecai and Rigby in 8-Bit Land on the 3DS.
Mordecai, excuse me.
I don't know this show, should I? Is it really funny?
It's supposed to be pretty funny.
I know Adventure Time. I know that one.
If you like Adventure Time, you'd like this show.
Okay. Is it one of those things that's like funnier if you've, you know, smoked a certain substance beforehand?
I think it's just the same type of humor.
Okay, then yes. Don't do drugs, kids. So anyway, I of course I meant smoking a hookah, which is perfectly legal.
Smoking meat.
Yes. Or a water. Let's see.
Smoking water.
Like a water bong. That's what I meant. Anyhow, so as that name would talk about, the heroes will be transported inside your favorite games. That's pretty much what you'd expect in an episode of Regular Show anyway. So it's 8-Bit Land for the 3DS. I guess they already have a game on iOS, which, you know, most things do. But
I kind of assume that everything has a game on iOS.
There you go. ActDef says, I like the show. Lots and lots of 80s references. Queen Simeon, our chat room, says, Regular Show is more of a stoner hipster show, just like I thought. Huh? There you go.
You know what I miss?
What?
Now that, you know, we're talking about shows with a lot of references and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I miss Code Monkeys, man. That was a good show on G4. Like one of the few.
Yes. All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Stuff. You have to guess what it is. I'm just kidding. Disney has registered some domains. That means that they might be doing some type of racing game. It's called there's Disney Speedster, Disney Speedsters, Disney Racers, Disney Racing, Disney Kart Racing, and Disney Karting. They actually have a Disney Speedsters Twitter with no tweets on it yet. So, not surprising, Disney has their fingers in most things. Also, there is Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventure. This is basically, it makes me think a lot of Pac-Land. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
But like on a 3D scale, and it's basically Pac-Man wandering around in a 3D world.
It
looks neat.
It's also based off a new TV show.
What?
Yep.
What? Now
really?
I need to go back and watch 80s Pac-Man cartoons. And then, last but not least, Google did a tribute to Atari's Breakout by having, if you type in Atari Breakout into the Google Images search, you will find your screen turned into a Breakout clone.
Another little Google Easter egg.
Yep. I super, super loved what Google did for Slawbass's birthday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I was like, I just kept watching it over and over again, and then I had to watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Because that man is like my hero. I'm sad he's dead.
Can you still play the Pac-Man? I remember the Pac-Man thing they did was legendary. Can you still play that?
I can find out.
Didn't they leave that up on the internet somewhere where you can like still play that?
I think so. Yes.
Really?
Yep. In fact, I will put the link into the chat room.
I might have to leave the show to go play more Pac-Man. Just kidding. Although apparently they're apparently they're turning it into the new TV show anyway. So
yeah,
all right.
But anyway, you can still play that.
Let's get to the Foogle question of the week.
It's Radio Control.
Take Facebook and Google and slam them together, you get Foogle. And every week we ask a question in our Facebook and Google Plus fan communities and read some of our favorite answers. And I am going to have to limit how much I read tonight, guys, because there's just so many long answers. And so I do want the show to be over in a reasonable amount of time tonight. So I apologize in advance if I don't read yours. But I will start on Google Plus tonight, and I'm going to read this from Travis H., with a majority of the gaming world hating on their new console and a lead developer from EA coming out last week calling the system crap. Oh, I didn't even read the damn question, did I? I'm sorry. Well, I said it was going to be about the Nintendo Let's Play thing, but let me read to you what I said for the communities. What are your thoughts on Let's Play videos? Do you like to watch them? Are you someone that creates them? Lastly, how do you feel about the news story itself? Has it soured your opinion on Nintendo, or do you think they were well within their rights to make money off their game images? And I linked to the story that Loki talked about earlier in the show. All right, so now going back to Travis H's answer over on Google+, with the majority of the gaming world hating on their new console and a lead developer from EA coming out last week calling the system crap, I feel like the Big N needs all the help and gamer love they can get. I own a Wii U and a 3DS. In my opinion, Nintendo is failing miserably. They need to focus more on making some damn games for the Wii U and stop bitching about free advertisement and promotion of their games. As for the content and spoiler aspect of the videos, if you don't want to watch the game content, if you don't want the game content spoiled for yourself, here is a novel idea. Don't watch. Hashtag wake up Nintendo. And that is a very similar thing that I've read on many places on the internet this week. Do you feel the same way about Microsoft? Just making sure. I'm assuming you do. Reading some of the other answers here, I'm going to go to Facebook, and I'm purposely being a little picky choosy from names I don't see all, like in chat and in mailbag and other places. But I do encourage everybody to go read all of the answers, facebook.com/orangelaunchradio. I'll read this one, Vince from AKVG Games. I'm a person that loves making and watching Let's Plays, so somebody that actually does Let's Play videos. I neither disagree or agree with Nintendo. Yes, LPs can be a gain or take on sales depending on how a certain game of theirs is handled, I think this was typed via mobile, so I'm thinking autocorrect really fucked with that sentence there, but I think it's depending on how a certain game of theirs is handled, but so do reviews and articles. It's a tough topic, really, because we don't really know if Nintendo is right or wrong with making this decision. I guess for now, if you want to make a living off Nintendo long plays, you'll have to contact Nintendo and work something out with them. At least you're still able to do them and not disappear from the internet like other companies do, Sega. Chiggers asks, what's a Let's Play video? Was that tongue-in-cheek? I'm not sure. Going to Zether. Zether says, Let's Play videos are not meant to be something to be monetized. They are meant to be playthroughs of games with insightful commentary, or text in the case of screenshot Let's Plays, that the person who did them put their heart and soul into. I have followed long plays from both Something Awful, where the concept originated, and from users on YouTube who aren't members of Something Awful, people who didn't want to join YouTube for the money, and they were fun to watch as opposed to most of the YouTube partners who do game long plays for the cash, like PewDiePie. Even people like Chugga Conroy, who play Nintendo games, are not in it for the money. Nintendo is doing the right thing, and frankly, these people deserve what's coming to them. It's a pretty pointed answer. Let's see. Andy R. says, I don't watch Let's Plays myself, but the news did sully my opinion of Nintendo a bit. At least among the couple of people I know who do their own Let's Plays, they're not trying to profit off the content. They just want to provide entertainment and to share something they love with others. Benjamin H. actually replied to that and said, Andy, those LPers can still provide entertainment and share something they love. If they're not trying to profit from the Nintendo-based content, are they really going to be majorly affected by Nintendo trying to profit from it? Underleveled Video replies and says, I do Let's Plays. I only monetize the videos that the publisher of the game has said it's okay to monetize. Blizzard, Minecraft, etc. They don't care because they see it as free advertising for them. Several indie game developers have gone on record to say if it hadn't been for people playing their game on YouTube, they never would have sold as many copies as they did. In an ideal world, I think the ad revenue generated should be split between the game developer and the YouTuber, but perfect worlds are impossible in this money-grubbing existence. Interesting, because I suggested the same thing earlier.
Once again, I'm just, you know, confused that the amount of money that they're generating per each video is so, like, it's so small that, like, you really think that, I don't know, it just seems kind of, I understand it's your property or whatever, and you're mad at people making money off of it because they like your property and they want to show people stuff. I mean, it's not like they're putting out a DVD or something with your game on it and saying, oh, this is my game. You know, it's just, I don't know.
All right, let me finish the comment here from Underleveled Video because I think the end of it is very interesting. It really is a gray area, though, in copyright and fair use. Nintendo owns the game, but the YouTuber owns their actions in said game as well as their commentary on top of the video. I think a court case needs to happen to make legal precedent. That's a scary thought, but...
Is it really going to come to that?
It might. Not in Nintendo's case, but maybe another company.
It could be something like, you know, where they use that was the content ID system and they overreach their bounds and like ban an account that's made a lot of money on something. They've done that. Was Angry Game Nerd or whatever got his channel taken down one time? And
well, to be fair, again, I just want to be clear. Nintendo is not doing the strike thing against the people. They're only – and they were very clear, and they tried to make themselves look like the good guys in the comments saying, hey, we didn't do what certain other entertainment companies are doing, and we are just switching the monetization thing basically. We're not actually doing copyright strikes that will get your channel taken down.
But so, in the eyes of people who are thinking they're being the big asshole, being less of an asshole doesn't make you, you know, not an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I understand that they're doing the thing or whatever, that they're not, you know, taking down videos. But at the same time, they could also be like Minecraft and Blizzard and say, hey, it's cool that you guys, you know, show videos of our games. So, yes, I understand that they can take down games. But the fact that they're taking all the ad revenue from it is still kind of a dick move.
All right. I want to read one more here. I think this is a very interesting response. It's kind of, you know, we've heard a lot of people that are very supportive of what Nintendo's doing, and this one is kind of going the other direction that supports the Let's Players a little more. So let me read this. It's from Jeff B. A Let's Play video is one's own content. That person's style of play and their commentary make it their own. It is not the same as just posting a trailer. Nintendo makes the sandbox, we play in it, or choose not to, as we're seeing now. Relatively few YouTube creators make a sole living just off that content. Most of the time, the best they get for doing that work, and make no mistake, a quality LP is work, is a part-time job's pay, or enough for one nice dinner out a month. Honestly, it doesn't even really matter whether Nintendo was legally or morally justified because it was bad business no matter how you slice it. And I imagine this problem for Nintendo will diminish quickly as they continue to copyright claim people's LP videos. When Nintendo started this, they had to have known it'd stop Let's Play videos of their own games getting made by a good chunk of the people putting out quality game content on YouTube. That's free advertising that Nintendo's own most loyal community does that gets more of their games sold. If Nintendo wants to nickel and dime, literally nickel and dime in some cases, some of their best community ambassadors, they can go right ahead. I'm sure they're legally clear to do that, but maybe they should think twice about turning on their own fans. I welcome them to come over to Twitch and try the same advertising revenue claim. And honestly, I'm starting to hope Twitch caves. It means no partners will be streaming newer Nintendo games. More room for League of Legends streams. Just kidding, I hate League of Legends. Someday, Nintendo will realize that giving people access to your game in nearly any way you can, not taking it away, brings in sales. And by doing this on YouTube, they are indirectly taking access away because the community will stop showcasing their games. So, very much saying that, you know, these guys are doing you a favor, and Nintendo, you are, I'm kind of summarizing in my own words, Nintendo, you are going to lose a lot of support on this. I found the tangent on Twitch interesting, though. I'm not sure what the point, I have to be honest, I'm not sure what the point was you were trying to make with that. Because, does that mean you want Nintendo to go over to Twitch, and you want Twitch to cave on that? Oh, I see, because then no more newer Nintendo games on Twitch, but why would you want that to happen if you hate League of Legends?
I think it's just saying, you know, it'd show them, like, you know, even if they get rid of, you know, YouTube videos of Nintendo games. And how old are we going here? Are we talking about, like, if I have a NES Super Mario Let's Play or something like that, they're going to monetize that? Because that right there, they're trying to sell virtual console games, and people don't know what the hell this game is, and they look up a Let's Play video for it, and they're like, hey, that looks kind of cool, I'm going to buy that game. Because they don't have demos for those games, even though they really should find a way to do that. Hello, I mean, we're 2013 and you can't fucking figure out how to make a demo for a game.
Why aren't you getting people to your website where the YouTube is posted, make money off your website?
It's automatic because ad revenue is automatic. Why? That's just like, you know, why put ads on your website? You know, it's the same thing. What if I have Nintendo content on my website and I'm making ad revenue through those same literally it's the same way, same ads that you're getting through, you know, it's all the Google Analytics stuff. So it's kind of a workaround, I guess, but I don't know.
I honestly think that the money part of it is a smaller factor than them trying to control content. Because, I mean, think about it. You've got basically unsolicited advertising coming up. Yeah. But it may not be exactly what Nintendo wants to see out there.
Maybe that is a workaround. You know, you make a private video. You have some sort of, in fact, hey, someone could even get on this bandwagon. They have like some sort of service where it creates a web page for you that you go to watch this video, almost like a, you know, URL redirector or shortener or something like that. And look, there's ad content on there through Google Analytics, but you're still making the, you know, money, but you just don't have an advertisement on the video.
There you go.
But then they're gonna figure out that's a workaround, and they're gonna come down on you anyways, because people don't like loopholes.
All right. Well, there's
people love loopholes. Companies don't.
There's some of the answers again, because a lot of these were lengthy, and I only have a little bit of time. I did not want to read all of them, but I encourage you guys to go read them for yourselves. Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. Also, Google Plus. There was another answer over there at search for Orange Lounge Radio on Google Plus. I would give you all the numbers, but you'd forget. All right, let's do a few more news stories. And boy, another Kick Nintendo story, right, Logie?
Yes, I love kicking them when they're down. No, seriously, though, but I've been saying this for months now, that EA has no games for the Wii U. You know, numerous shows have said that. And yes, it's only been confirmed by EA that, yes, they don't have any games coming up for the Wii U. And I think a lot of that has to do with that they're pushing to do the Frostbite 3 engine for a lot of their games, including, I think, sports games. And Frostbite 3 does not work on the Wii U. Or basically, they just don't want to make it work on the Wii U because they are developing a new Frostbite engine for mobile. So in theory, they could create a Frostbite 2.5 or something like that that runs on Wii U and just have to port it over. But it's just not worth it to them to do that because they're not making any money off of it. And FIFA 14 is not coming to the Wii U because FIFA 13 sales were not very good. Although that's not really a good comparison because FIFA 13 was just FIFA 12, but reskinned with, you know, a roster update. Literally, that's what it was on the Wii U. So, whatever. But that's the case, I think, with a lot of these companies. They're not porting their games to the Wii U because it's just not making any sense. And one of these games that, remember, was a big part of E3, their presentation was Ghost Recon Online. Still on hold, even though it was supposed to be coming out. When is it coming out? We haven't heard anything since like a year ago. So I don't know.
Let me ask a question here. Is EA still making games for the PlayStation Vita?
FIFA is the only game that they have for the Vita. Everything else is just PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
But they are, so there is at least something that they're making for the Vita. See, I find that interesting because I think the Vita is in a very similar boat to the Wii U. It's just a lot of people kind of forgot that the Vita is also struggling. So that tells me there's something else at play here. And what I think, I don't think it's necessarily like, you know, that just EA has it out for Nintendo or whatever. And I've also heard the theory about, you know, maybe a botched relationship with Origin on Nintendo or whatever, which actually, you know, might be part of it. But I think it's more in general an inability on Nintendo's part to grasp online. And I think, for one, the online pass system couldn't be implemented on the Nintendo, which was a problem, I think, for EA in some regards. Because you don't see it in Mass Effect, do you? In the Mass Effect game.
Well, you don't see it in Mass Effect, but do you?
You don't,
is it on Assassin's Creed 3? Because wouldn't that have Uplay on it?
Uplay is on Wii U because it's in Zombie U.
Well, that's similar.
Okay. But there's a whole little like separate Uplay channel that you can download and all this stuff on the Wii U.
Why can't there
be
an Origin channel?
Why not? But what I think is, I think there's something about the online store and its inability to do what EA wants when it comes to a lot of the DLC, when it comes to the online passes. I mean, think about it. None of the Mass Effect 3 DLC ever came to Nintendo. None of it. Not the free stuff or the pay stuff. Only the stuff that they were able to put on the disc, like the extended cut.
Did, now that I think of it, too, did any of the DLC come out for Black Ops 2 on the Wii U?
I'm not sure it did. So there's something weird there. And to me, that's the problem. And I don't think it's, I don't really buy the whole they can't do it or it's, I think that there's not as much money to be made, not because there's a lower adoption of Wii U's or whatever, because if they're still making games for the Vita, then that's not the only problem. But the Vita, it's very easy to incorporate. You know, it works just like the PlayStation 3 with all the DLC. So I think there's something with that is the real reason why EA is not continuing to put games out there, because it doesn't match their vision of being able to nickel and dime you online. And possibly whatever is coming after this online pass, maybe Wii U can't do. Think I might be onto something? Maybe?
But I think it also doesn't help that they don't have that many consoles out there, and to do a dedicated port for the Wii U, it's just not cost-effective for them. They're not going to have...
So why are they doing it for the Vita?
Maybe the FIFA sold, you know, a lot more on the Vita than we know. Maybe that was, you know, a game that is consistently selling on the Vita. I don't know. I don't really know what the sales numbers are on the Vita. I mean, because it is something that's worldwide. You know, FIFA is a really big game worldwide, so... Maybe that happened. Or maybe they're just going to take the easy way out and just, you know, take the game from last year and once again, you know, just update the roster and just release a really half-assed game.
That's true. They might.
So, and I guess they could have done that with the Wii U, but I don't know.
Just release the Wii version?
Well, no, the Wii U version. Just release it again.
Oh,
but
yeah,
just
right,
skin
yeah.
it and just, you know, update the rosters.
Very interesting. So... was that in your little blog? Oh, yeah. There you go. So let's move on to some news out of Google this week. Google had their whole little, what was it called? The I.O. conference or something like that. And they announced, you know, some changes coming to Google Maps. They talked about some of the Hangouts and Google Plus they talked a lot about. One of the things they talked about on Google Plus is that there will no longer be Google Plus games after June 30th. In fact, if you actually go to Google Plus games right now, they say they are no longer going to be available after June 30th. If you want to be able to transfer your game progress or your little, you know, microtransactions or whatever from the game, you got to take that up with the original publisher. So that is going away. Possibly to make room for this, it's a game services. It's part of Google Play, a game service that's going to launch out of the Play Store that will link together mobile, social, and cloud gaming. And I seem to remember they were showing like a demo that showed one guy playing on the web, one playing on a phone, and one on a tablet or something.
Yeah.
And they're all linked together. So I'm assuming Google Plus games, I mean, let's be real, they probably were not that popular in the first place because Google Plus did not catch on the way, you know, Facebook did. It's popular. It's cultish, but it's not mainstream, right?
Yeah.
So the games aren't catching on, so now you got this instead. They're saying it's going to be different from Apple and what they do with Game Center because there will be back-end support, and this is not going to be just a standalone application. Anyone making a game with Google Play has access to the developer services. Some games will have this incorporated already, like World of Goo, Kingdom Rush, Beach Buggy Blitz, Osmos, and so forth. It's not mandatory. There's no certification process. Interesting.
And it's cross-platform, which is wonderful. They showed on one of the demos, it was like a tech demo, this racing game where they had all these different tablets and phones and stuff next to each other, and it created a racetrack, like a slot car racing thing. But it was cross-platform, cross-device, and it all worked flawlessly.
Yeah, so my thought is that they'll probably incorporate this at some point into Google Plus where it's like play the game on the web or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an evolution of that, which I sounds a lot cooler than like Facebook games, you know?
Anything sounds better than Facebook games.
I can't, if I get one more fucking invite for Candy Crush Saga, I'm going to cut somebody.
Being stabbed in the eye is better than, not really.
All right,
slightly better than Facebook games.
All right, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
I've got some stuff. How about Nintendo stuff? Basically, Nintendo won an appeal to keep selling the Wii in the U.S. Basically, there was the whole litigation about Motiva, is that how it's pronounced? Saying that the Wii had infringed on two of its patents to use to track body position and body movement. But the judges agreed that their motive was just to win damages or a settlement, not for licensing. So they said no, and Nintendo won.
So Nintendo can keep selling the Wii, even though they should be trying to get that thing off shelves and try to make people buy Wii U instead, right?
No. I think they should just give up on the Wii U and actually put out a system.
I think it's too early. I don't understand why everybody's like, the Wii U's dead, and it's only been 9 months. Again, 3DS, same thing. If we're sitting here after the holidays still saying the same story, then we can call the Wii U dead. But I'm not ready to say that yet.
I mean, I'm not saying it's dead, but it really is highly underperforming for a Nintendo system. I mean, you remember how hyper everyone was about the Wii, and then the Wii U comes out, and I'm still finding them no problem.
But
like, piles of them.
The 3DS was a Nintendo system, and it was the same story.
It sold better than the Wii U.
Did it?
I think it did.
I think it, yeah, it's selling better than the, well, it's definitely selling better than the Wii U right now.
Well, okay, but
time frame, I'm not sure.
The price to get one was also half as much.
Yeah.
Or less than a Wii U, for sure, so.
Hmm. Well, it was $250.
Well, and think about it this way, too. You know, having a home console is a lot more, I think, of a commitment than having a handheld system. And with a handheld system, you have the advantage of it being just that, something you can carry around with you.
But I think with the 3DS, too, I mean, look at it this way. They had a gimmick that was interesting. It was a 3D display without any 3D glasses. And that was like, whoa, that's a neat thing. Versus the Wii U with, hey, it's a tablet controller. People are used to playing with a tablet controllers or tablets, so that's not like, it wasn't that big of a new thing, but 3D graphics without, you know, glasses, that was like, holy crap. even if you know, no one uses it anymore.
Well, there's phones that do the same thing now. Dan's old Galaxy did.
I don't know.
The lenticular screen?
I'm just not still willing to say it's dead at this point. But I will say I think one big mistake they made is that they made that touchpad was really a step back to where, you know, touch gaming is at right now. Like the whole having to use a stylus. Well, I mean, I guess you don't have to for some games, but it really should have been as good of a touch, you know, as modern tablets and so forth. Because, yeah, people do know a tablet and they expect it to respond a lot better to touch than Nintendo's tablet does.
For the record, Dan said that his phone that had the lenticular screen was the Thrill.
Hmm.
So it wasn't his Galaxy. It was still kind of neat, though. It gave me the same type of headache the 3DS does.
So we're going to have them release like a Wii U with Tablet Plus that's going to have multi-touch on it, and it's going to be an upgrade of what it, you know, like they did with Wii Remote Plus?
I hope not. I still would like to see some more games for the system I have, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a place we end up next year. But I think this year is all about, like, this is not a year to release any hardware. Maybe that whole Wii Fit thing, which I'm sure is one of the games they're going to be pushing for the holidays, that is a little bit different because that's an add-on with a very specific purpose, but this is not the year to be pushing hardware for the Wii U or anything in the living room. Like, it will really alienate the people that have supported the system. Didn't make me happy that the Circle Pad Pro came out either, but at the same time, they, like, what, four games use it?
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So, you know, Ouya. I was joking about this on Bobby's show. Ouya is going to be at E3. Well, at E3 in proximity to E3. They're going to be in a parking lot outside of E3. In a van.
Down by the river?
By the river, yeah. No, actually, they're going to be in the parking lot, and they're going to be, you know, they basically said everything you need to put on a killer game demo. Ouya console, controllers, and TV. That's not how you put on a killer game demo. I mean, because, granted, there are a lot of games. I mean, there's games on the Wii or the Ouya, but not all of them were like, hey, buy me because this game is on there. I mean, no.
Although they could show that parking game with no
parking
break.
Parking game is awesome.
Yeah, no break parking.
Here's what I want to know. I want to know is how they're going to fix my controller, because my controller is all fucked up. And apparently the newer controllers or newer consoles that are shipping out have a fixed controller. So where do I RMA that bitch? Because I want a controller where the analogs fucking work. You know, I think that's expected. So what if I backed your console, you fucked up on something, and it needs to be fixed? So that's why I'm concerned. But anyways, yeah, they're going to be there. June.
Well, you could go down to the Staples Center and ask.
No, I'm not driving down there for that shit.
If I go, I'll ask.
And they probably won't know either. So
I still don't know if I've been blessed by the E3 Pope or not, so I'm still figuring that whole thing out. So, but I will try to stop by. But it should be noted that there are many parking lots around the convention center. This is likely the same lot that Saints Row the Third used last year, which is across the street from Staples Center, which got even more exposure because, hey, it was right during the time when the Lakers were in the playoffs last year when E3 was going on. Or was it last year or 2 years ago? No, it was last year. So even extra exposure, right? So
Yeah.
Anyhow. Well, Konami talking E3, or at least a pre-E3 show, and they've been doing this kind of they've been doing like the Nintendo Direct thing for a little while too. They do these videos that go out. So Konami will be doing a pre-E3 show that will give the latest on some of their franchises on June 6th. This is the third year that they've done it. Notice how I think the last time they did it was when Rock Revolution came out. Or the last time they did a live presentation, rather, and that was a hot mess. So, yeah, now they do these videos that are all pre-done instead. So June 6th, 1 p.m. Eastern, which will be streaming live online through Konami's events site, also on GameSpot, also through Xbox Live and the GameSpot app. New trailers for Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2, which was also seen last year.
But a year before last, I think.
But also Metal Gear Solid 5, which I'm sure some people are very excited about. The Phantom Pain.
Snake is even older.
Yes, that will be there as well. And I'm sure there will be some other unannounced goodies, too. And I know we have some longtime Bomani fans who still listen to the show. I would not go in anticipating anything as far as the Beat games go. But you never know if the new Xbox has this Kinect thing built in. Maybe they'll try the rhythm party thing again, or Dance Masters. I don't think Dance Masters did very well, but Rhythm Party was just on sale over the weekend. It might still be, actually. If you don't have Rhythm Party and you like Bomani games and you have a Kinect, Rhythm Party's not bad. The problem is there's only like 5 songs in the base game. It's all DLC, but it's a pretty well put together game. They should have just made it a disc game with a well-rounded 50 songs. It would have been awesome. But anyway. So I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath as far as music games go, though. I don't think you're going to see Beatmania 2DX or anything. I don't know, just call it a hunch. I think a lot of that stuff is long gone.
I don't know what the heck they would be putting out then, because they don't really have anything other than Castlevania. That's all I know. Pro Evo, I guess. It'll be another Pro Evo game.
It could be another Silent Hill entry.
Nah, I don't think
so. It's about time for one of those, isn't it?
I don't think there's going to be one of those this year.
You never know. All right, let's go on to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura dives into the email bag head first and tries not to catch anything as she's pulling out your emails to read here on the show. Dark Sakura.
It's still sticky.
Why don't you read some emails for us?
Okay, we have three whole emails. The first one, dear OLR, a very belated congratulations on your achievement of reaching 500 plus episodes. Excuse me. Thanks for being there with me on so many long drives to work and back. I wish that I could join you on live shows more often, but family commitments usually conflict with that. I have been listening to you since before my son was even born 6 years ago, who is now old enough to game with me. Thank you for making me feel old.
Right?
Seriously. With the new Next Box being announced this week, I continue to be very excited about gaming, even though I miss the days of the arcade, or days gone by of trying to finish games we rented from the local video store. Sometimes I feel that gamers today are very jaded, considering there is a gamut of options out there on every imaginable platform. The constant complaints can often be disheartening. I agree with that. I was like, man, we had games that we could only get from Blockbuster that were really hard and had no save function, and we liked it.
GamersHateEverything.com.
Seriously. Anywho, this topic is about appreciation, and I wanted to show mine to you with a small token. Keep up the great work, Dark Charger. And, well, I'll go ahead and read it, because it's kind of long. It's up to you if you want to read the rest of this on air or not. I'm hoping Dark Sakura, since she is unemployed, or someone OLR can use this license, either for the show or even just to enjoy. You're welcome to keep it or give it away as you please. Oh my god. It's a 1-year subscription to Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yeah, I saw that in the email bag earlier this week, and I was like, oh boy, Dark Sakura's going to be pretty excited about that.
And I need new underwear, please.
If she doesn't want it, then I would like to get the new audition. That would be great for podcasts. So, yeah. But a very, very generous donation, and I'm always amazed by the generosity of our listeners just in being here and participating, and even when there's like free stuff like this to come out of it, and a lot of that stuff will go right back into helping the show and VOG.
Well, given that I'm doing all of the graphics for the site and everything, yeah, I think I have a use for this.
So, yeah, very cool.
Excuse me, I'm actually tearing up a little bit now.
Are you really?
Just a little bit.
Can you cry on air?
No, I won't cry on air.
I cried on air when we got a gift once. Why can't you cry on air?
You've cried on air.
I have cried on air, probably more than once, but anyhow.
I usually just cry from wank, but this is actually like, oh my god, it's super, super awesome.
So, again, thank you. It's amazing. You really didn't have to. And I know that shit ain't cheap. Like, you might have had it in or whatever, but I really hope you did not have to pay a lot of money for that. That's
Else. Isn't like the current CS suite something like a good $700? Well, I know that when I tried to get the student edition for CS6, it was like $300.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm still using 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling verklempt.
Are you okay to go to the next
talk amongst yourselves? I'll give you a topic. Nah, I'm ready to go on.
All right.
I'm just a little floored right now, and probably sinus medicine has something to do with that, too. Okay. Dear OLR, after a two-week vacation, I came back to find my Wii U gamepad was left on in TV remote controller mode the entire time plus a day, or 360 hours straight. It responded when I turned it off, and I later started the Wii U to see if I had burn-in on the pad. Nope! It was plugged in the whole time, or it would have turned itself off. That's a good argument for unplugging it while playing, and that's from Robaba.
Interesting. That's a long time to leave that thing on. I thought that thing was only supposed to work for like 3 hours, but I guess maybe because the remote doesn't really use the transmitter functions. That's crazy.
He said it was plugged in.
Oh, it was plugged in. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But on top of that, though, it not having any burn-in is... I'm sorry, I'm still a little floored by the other thing. Sorry. It not having burn-in is actually pretty amazing. I remember... Now, of course, this was 19 years ago. Earlier than that. You know, having Samurai Showdown 3 and the big screen having burn-in after a week. So, I mean...
I remember the Apple IIe monitors were really susceptible to burn-in. You had to be careful.
Oh, yeah, you had that little icon in the corner, like, forever that was your computer icon.
Yep.
Yeah, it lived there. It never went away. But that's pretty impressive. That's actually a really good sign of a quality product. Okay, I won't rag on the Wii U that much anymore. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, you will. Don't lie.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a hater.
Liars don't get codes for software.
Okay, so we have one more email.
Uh-huh.
And this person does not give us a name, so I'm just going to say Kirk, which is the first name attached to this. Good evening, my OLR peeps. My name is Kirk, and I wanted to email you guys and say that for about 6 to 8 months, I was taking a break from console gaming and listening to gaming podcasts. Your show was one of my gaming podcasts I would listen to on a regular basis, and even though I couldn't make it to the live streams, I've been a loyal listener for many years. Aw, we love you. But this past year, I decided to be a real adult, which leads me to buying my first home, going back to school to finish my degree, and finally working on those New Year resolutions of losing weight. Currently have lost 121 pounds. That's like losing a supermodel.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just want to say, though, with all due respect, I think that's great that you have those priorities, but I don't own a home, I don't have a degree from college, and I'm fat. And
you're not that, Rob.
I still feel like an adult. So I'm just saying, you don't have to have those things. But I understand the point the listener was trying to make. But
you are not that, Rob. Just saying. Okay. With being occupied with all those things, along with a full-time job, gaming fell by the wayside, and I've given up my PS3, Xbox 360, 3DS, and listening to gaming podcasts. Things have settled down recently this year with me adjusting to my new townhouse, except for the noisy neighbors, and keeping a regular routine with school and gym time. I've gotten back into gaming. For the first time in my life, I built my own gaming PC piece by piece, and I am now back exclusively as a PC gamer addicted to Steam sales and getting used to WASD. Yeah, Steam sales. Super addicting! With my glorious return to gaming, I'm also happily back to listening to my favorite podcasts, which yours is first on the list.
Aww.
On my favorite hobbies was listening to you while listening to podcasts in the background, and I wanted to say thank you for entertaining me for so many years, and I'm glad to be back as a loyal listener. Well, we are glad to have you back.
Aw, this fat homeless dropout is so happy to have you here. I had to, sorry. No, I get
it. You know
it.
What?
I get the real point you was trying. You sometimes... In order to make change happen in your life, you have to change some things. So I get the point.
If you have one thing that is becoming so distracting to the point that you can't get anything else done, then yeah, I can understand taking a full step away from it to reorganize.
Exactly, and that's what sometimes people have to do.
I've done the same thing myself. I mean, you remember when I went Momo free for a while?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially since WoW kind of sucked at first. Sorry, hate. But, I mean, some people need to do that. It's like people who drink, you know? You either can cut it out a little bit and you're fine, or you have to cold turkey it and not drink at all. or be able to smoking. Get to your other priorities and stop something that's getting in the way of a productive life.
Or smoking, Jamie, because some people can do it cold turkey, or some people have to do it cold turkey. Some people need the patch or a support group or, you know.
Or you're my uncle and you smoke the electric cigarettes. Which, actually, I will go ahead and say this. Nicotine in and of itself is as bad as for you as caffeine. Mm-hmm. It's all the other crap in it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but I personally take exception to the real adult thing, but I understand it. You know.
I'm more giving the emailer a hard time, but I just don't like the perception out there that not having some of those things makes you less successful. I actually kind of resent the notion a little bit. So yeah, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But the key was he didn't say success or whatever. He said something else. But I just sometimes society puts these certain things out there, and I don't regret the decisions I've made. I have a great life. Thanks.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I'd like to have a job, not for lack of trying.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I think that. You can, and I've had to explain this to my mother, and I always give her a hard time because I was like, how much of my Nintendo did you play when I was 12? You know, you can be into gaming. You can be into, you know, I know people years older than me who are still majorly into every new anime that ever comes out. I'm not as much as I used to be, even though something comes out that I might like, or I like watching the old stuff. You know, everyone's got their thing. There's nothing wrong with enjoying something and having fun as long as you don't do it to the exception of all else.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's the real point, yes.
Exactly. And, yeah, I'm not going to go off any more about that. But I do have to say congratulations to you, Kirk, for your fantastic achievements. I mean,
yeah.
You lost a person.
That's amazing.
You 121, Dan lost that much.
Yeah. Extifer from Horde House lost a whole heck of a lot as well, and I know that took a lot of work, and it's very impressive.
Also, thank you, Fifth Dream, for not making me feel like I'm the oldest person in chat. Hearts. That's it, Rob.
That's it for the emails. mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. Before we get back into some gaming news, it's time for us to get a little ranty with a segment we call the FUs of the Week.
I guess the only FU that I have is to this cold that I got from Dan. But other than that, I'm looking at the Adobe site with tears in my eyes. I'm so happy. I'm seriously, like, shaking with joy. Well, it's like Pantone knocked on my door and said, "We want you to design everything in the world for us."
Well, that ruins the angsty segment. F you to that emailer for the generous gift for screwing up the FUs. I'm kidding. All right.
Oh, and F you to everyone putting spoilers out about Star Trek Into Darkness, because I haven't seen it yet, and I'm not reading any reviews because they've all been spoilery.
All right. Loki.
F you to the to Ouya for their controllers being all sorts of broken. Just the analogs. It's really annoying. It can be fixed with a software patch, but it's not really fixed. It's just kind of a workaround, I guess. It still sucks, though, because I'm trying to play some of these games, and it's just like, ugh. That's it.
My FU of the week goes to, I don't know, things are fairly well, so I don't have a lot of angst. FU to traffic on the way to the Bay Area, because it took me 3 hours to make a drive that should take an hour 45 minutes. And FU to the Kabuki Theater in San Francisco, although actually it's kind of like the good kind of FU, because like I loved seeing that movie there so much because it was in a theater that served booze and they only let 21 and up people in there. So no babies. And the reason why I say FU is now I want to see every movie at that theater in San Francisco, and that's not possible. my movie going experience bar has been forever changed because of that. So
the bar has been raised.
That's right. The bar has been raised. All right. Just a couple more news stories for you guys. And then we will get to Twitter topics and our Skype line here eventually. So let's get to Loki.
So there was an announcement a few months ago about Batman Arkham Origins. And, you know, it was revealed that, hey, Batman's not going to be voiced by Kevin Conroy anymore. It's going to be a new person. And there was much bitching. Well, thankfully now the deal has been put in place where, yes, Kevin Conroy will be Batman because he is Batman. And he will be returning as the voice of Batman in the new game when it comes out in October. Also revealed, thanks to an Amazon pre-order, there apparently will be DLC where Deathstroke will be playable in some form, probably like the challenge missions and the other games. But neat. Glad that they have.
I make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, I'm glad that they have the original voice coming back. Now, is Mark Hamill actually going to be doing the voice of the Joker again in this game, or is it going to be just like...
I don't think the Joker's in it. I think that's how they got around
really?
It. Really?
Yeah, but Mark Hamill has officially retired.
Sure he has.
No, he actually really has retired. Apparently it was doing a number on his voice.
Well, so, yeah, Deathstroke be kind of cool.
All right. I'm excited about the new game, but I'm a little worried that it's another... I think as a lot of people are, I kind of want to wait and see what the reviews look like or what the footage looks like coming out of E3, because kind of like, is it going to be as good? Is it going to meet that bar that was set by, you know, Arkham City and so forth? Or is it, you know... I don't know. We'll see. Well, one more story for you guys, and I apologize, it's political, but it is making the rounds on the gaming blogs this week, and it's a comment from Vice President Joe Biden. Now, you might remember that when the whole horrible, horrible thing in the school in Connecticut broke out, Joe Biden started a task force. He was assigned by President Obama to talk about, you know, how do you curtail gun violence and so forth. And they did this whole thing about, you know, games and all this. In May, the vice president met with 20 representatives from faith-based organizations to talk about gun control and immigration. He talked about video games in this as well, according to Politico. Franklin Graham, who is the son of Billy Graham, you know, the evangelist, I guess what you call him, said to the vice president that, quote, media and entertainment that portray violence should be subject to a special tax, with the proceeds going to help victims and their family. And this is according to a rabbi, Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld, who was also in that session. Biden said, quote, there's no, quote, no restriction on the ability to do that. There's no legal reason why they couldn't, end quote, do attacks on violent media. Going on, the quote says, he said they really need a good scientific study, which they've done on things like smoking. So what's interesting about this is that it's not necessarily limited to games, which I can appreciate for one, is that, you know, I don't, you know, when they talk about like attacks on violent games, then I'm like, well, what about R-rated movies and NC-17 movies? And what about things on TV and networks? Are they going to put attacks on the nightly news? Because maybe they ought to. You know, because it's pretty violent, too.
So are they going to tax the Bible? Because I believe it depicts violence.
Oh, snap.
That would be hilarious.
Because, oh, snap.
You know, it's like, oh, hey, you know, thanks for mentioning that.
And to be fair, just about any religious text.
Yes. So I think that's just ridiculous. The only way I could see them ever doing that is because we need the tax dollars. But other than that, I mean, it's just... It's kind of ridiculous because, once again, you're just taxing things that don't necessarily have a direct correlation with violence.
And again, the problem with this, it all goes back to the root problem with that California law that we spent all this money trying to defend. The Supreme Court overturned it because it was all up to somebody's interpretation. And how can you tax something that has to be interpreted? Because, and that, to be fair to the vice president, even though I don't necessarily agree with what he said, he did say we would need a really good scientific study. They would have to have facts.
We're going to need to waste more money.
Yeah, right. So I yep. But I just don't think it would be successful because what is violent? somebody would have to set that line, and it's too what's violent to me might be not necessarily what's violent to you, what's not violent to Franklin Graham or Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld.
And what they're ignoring is that there actually have been scientific studies that have disproven that violent video games are any more, they're just as likely as a movie or watching the news or reading a book. It's the same thing. They're as likely to cause violence as any other portrayal.
And then what happens to media that's not rated? A lot of movies don't bother getting rated so that they can still come out in theaters without the NC-17 stigma attached to it, because the NC-17 rating is a fucking waste.
It's not like, you know, watching porn means I'm going to go sleep with the pizza man.
It's just... Well, I mean, the whole rating system in and itself is a really horrible joke. In this, I'm not talking about the game ratings. The game ratings are actually better right now than the movie ratings. They really are. The movie ratings is in need of a serious, serious reorganization. Everything from the fact that you have R-rated movies that are like Saw-level violent, then you have an R-rated movie like Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion is an R-rated movie because the F-word is used more than once by Janine Garofalo's character. And I put a movie like Romeo and Michelle next to a movie like Saw, and I'm like, you know, we got a problem.
Well, Janine Garofalo is just an R-rated actress, so it makes sense.
Well, didn't she also turn Scientologist? Which just makes me roll my eyes and feel very sad.
Whatever, you know what, that's her thing.
I don't care. That's totally not the point I'm trying to make here is about the movie, that it's a joke that a movie like that, I mean, should kids see it? Not necessarily, but I think a 14 or a 15-year-old could see it. It's no worse than there are. It's a movie about high school, for fuck's sake. Like, it's nothing different than what they're hearing at school. You know, it's silly. Interesting. Degenerate Johnny in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, FCC has been quoted to state that the ESRB is the best rating system of all entertainment. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, Evil Dead, the new one, was originally rated NC-17 until they cut a few scenes out. And you know what? I have zero interest in the new Evil Dead. Zero. Yeah. I've heard things about the movie, and I'm just like, no thanks.
I can get you a
copy. It does not have the chin.
Don't care. I don't care.
I can get you legit caught up.
No, I really don't care. Like, thank you, but
I kind of want to see it, but it doesn't have Bruce. So what's the point?
He's in the cameo. See, I know that.
I don't care. It's not a Bruce Campbell being in the movie.
What kind of cameo does he have?
I don't remember.
What, does he open the door for somebody?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Is he a manager at S-Mart?
I don't know, and I wouldn't want to spoil
it. He was a producer on the movie, so that's why.
Yeah, but...
But
hey, I don't care. You know what? If the proceeds from this movie go to making an Army of Darkness 2, I don't care. It exists for a purpose.
But, you know, judge however you want to judge. But yeah, I will be there as I am every single year for the showing of Showgirls at the Castro Theater hosted by drag queens because I live for that shit.
Oh, my God. I need to go again this year because I didn't go last year and I'm sad.
So judge me all you want. I won't go see Evil Dead, but I'll go see Showgirls for the 10th time in the theater.
And what's Elizabeth Berkley doing right now? I seriously think that we should they should kickstart a sequel to that movie.
Why we're talking about this on OLR, I don't know, but we're almost at the end of the show, so we can do this. They got the girl that played Penny in the movie. If you've seen the movie, Penny was like the other stripper who was kind of like the blonde, silly.
The dumb blonde?
Yeah, the dumb blonde stereotype, basically. Yeah. They actually got her there live at the theater. The Peaches Christ, the drag queen who does this, which, by the way, that's a great name, actually got her there. And part of the reason she was there is that she had self-financed or got a little group to finance Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven. Was the sequel. It's on IMDb, and they actually were selling DVDs, and they screened the movie earlier in the day. But
I need to see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm not going to bother watching it. I thought she was a great...
Come on. You gotta
I thought she was a great sport for going and participating. Apparently, she is also... there's a Showgirls off Broadway production right now, and she actually is in it right now as the character she played in the movie. I just think it's great. I just realized I won't talk about Evil Dead, but I know the in and outs of Showgirls. Like, it's so bad, it's good.
Essentially the same
thing. I can't help myself.
Rob.
I don't like violence and body parts and animal violence. I love titties. I don't think that's such a terrible thing.
And to be fair, the sex scene in the pool kind of looked like she was being attacked by a shark. So, I mean, that's sort of similar to the violence you see in video games.
All right.
I mean, seriously, who does what she does? You know?
All right. Anyhow, we get to the show where it's time for...
Like trying to get her last year get Elizabeth Berkley because it was like the 20th anniversary or something.
They were trying to get her, but I think she was pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even better.
Can't show up. All right. Baby on the way.
Anyway, we're about to the end of the show. We're going to get to last-minute stories and Twitter topics and the Skype line. But in order to start getting the Skype calls, I got to free up the Skype line, which means I got to say bye to Jamie. So, Jamie,
I'm lusting over the Adobe Suite right now.
Yeah, go install that.
I'm already installing 7 programs right now.
yeah, save the Audition license for me because I might want to check that out. But
as I'm not downloading it.
Sorry you had to be here remotely. I know we really like to have everybody here in studio, but with no show next week, that's a lot of Jamie to be missing. So I'm glad we were able to come up with something else. Feel better.
I actually am starting to feel a lot better. My drugs are doing the trick.
The power of OLR. This show heals. Be healed.
I have to tell you that Dan warned me about him being sick in enough time and that we had shared that soda that I started taking precautions. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not nearly as sick as I might have been.
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad to hear you're feeling...
Preventative medicine. It does the job.
Either that or the Adobe just miracle cure right there. Must have been.
I'm going to try this Muse thing and see if it doesn't piss me off as much as Dreamweaver does.
All right. Well, Dark Sakura, I'll run down the last bits of the show with you here. Do you have any final thoughts do you have any last minute stories for our listeners?
I actually do not. There was one attached to the Sega thing, but it's a little bit outdated, so I'm not going to bother.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I am going to Alabama, and if any of our listeners in or near the South with transportation would like to drive me around because I won't have a car, I'll pay for your gas.
You're hitchhiking with OLR listeners, Dark Sakura? Is that what this has come down to?
Well, you remember one of the times I went back, like maybe about 7 years ago, I went to Biloxi to a DDR tournament.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Where they had the fifth mix machine, and they had just gotten a fifth mix, and we had had it for like ever. So I was, perfect attacking stuff, and, they're like, oh, what do you think of this one? Everyone was so nice. I love meeting the arcade folks, and I got to go to my old arcade, so I'm gonna try to make it by the cyber station at the former Bel Air Mall at some point. I used to work there.
We may not be the most popular podcast on the internet, but I really love it because some podcasts out there, they'll ask you for $100,000 on Kickstarter to meet stretch goals. Here at OLR, we just want to bum a ride.
Yeah, I'm going to be staying in Daphne, which is an hour out of Mobile, and kind of don't want to be in Daphne the whole time while my mom's at work.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, good luck to you, and Pixar didn't happen.
You'll probably just get pictures of oyster shells.
Works for me. All right, have a great night, Jamie. We'll see you back in a couple weeks here on OLR.
Good night, everybody. Hearts, hearts, hearts.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And I'm sure she'll be in chat to say goodnight to the listeners and so forth and finish out our show in the chat room. So if you want to stop on by, if you happen to be listening live, live.vognetwork.com. But if you want to say hi to Dark Soccer in the email bag, you can always do that as well. mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. Let's get to last minute stories, and I'll start to bring up the Twitter topics, and we will open up the phones at 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype is Orange Lounge Radio. We're already getting calls. The words had barely escaped my mouth, and we're already getting phone calls. So let's go to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What up, guys? It's Zeno from the OKC. How you been?
Hey, Zeno Core. I'm good. How are you doing?
Making music here and there, stuff like that.
Yeah? I didn't know
you
were.
Yep.
I didn't. Or at least I didn't remember you were a music maker. That's awesome.
Well, it's a recent thing I picked up over the past 4 or 5 months or so.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Got stuff up on soundcloud.com/Zenocore. Check it out when you have availability.
Awesome plug. What's on your mind tonight?
You guys are discussing the Let's Play situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think Nintendo's going a bit overboard, although I think it's a bit of an automatic attack just due to the way that their stuff is set up. They're just but taking the revenue. It's really just putting like giving the guys a noogie on top of taking away their content. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, the fact that they're taking all the ad revenue, as much of a trickle as it is for a company the size of Nintendo, is really it's literally like snapping, you know, just doing that little extra to make a point.
Yeah, but it's not just Nintendo, right?
Well, yeah, everybody has the luxury of doing it. I have seen other companies do it before. But really, I mean, they'd be better off leaving it as open advertising for their games. Mm-hmm. I mean, because on top of that, the whole sandbox situation does apply. I mean, the fact that they gave a product out for play, the moment somebody starts playing it, it's completely different. Like you take Video Games Awesome Live. Their production for what they do on top of the game is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And they do it not just for games, but for releases and everything else too. If they're going to cut that off, they need to cut it off for all media that they do that with.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is allowed to do anything unless they pay Nintendo some money.
So meaning like reviews and things or what?
Yeah, I mean if they're not going to treat it underneath fair use, then everybody who openly plays that for longer than 5 minutes or so needs to pay Nintendo that. And I don't think, like, for instance, Revision 3, their reviews go on for 8 or 9. Granted, they're a big name. They'd never undercut them, but the little guys will step all over.
Or that one thing I was kind of thinking with this is that I'm surprised a lot of people have just said, all right, we'll just not use YouTube, because YouTube could kind of get some of the blame in this too for kind of letting Nintendo, or, quote unquote, letting Nintendo do it,
or
right?
Or split their videos up into, what did it say, it's 5 minutes or 4:59, you know.
It's kind of a pain in the ass, though.
It's a pain in the ass, but, you know, whatever. I mean, if that's what needs to be done.
Well, that's also going to cut into, the viewers aren't going to be there either. And also, you have to take into account how many video game tournaments are paying rights? Because not that many, as far as I saw, mm-hmm. unless it's sponsored by the video game company themselves. That means the streams for Team Spooky are also going to be cut out, so they can't show any of the video game tournaments as well as Evo coverage.
Well, what about Twitch? I mean, there's so much Let's Play that goes on Twitch. That's almost all that site is Let's Play stuff. But
yet, that means going up against Justin TV, and if they really want to undercut Justin TV out of that much revenue, then they'd have a court case fight there.
Hmm. I don't think there's an easy answer. I kind of think it's going to go back to that guy on our Facebook that said it's going to take a legal precedent to really figure this out. Although sure, it was a dick move on Nintendo's part, and I think it would have just been a better situation if they've all splitted the money or worked with the content people to try to figure out a solution rather than sick the lawyers on them. That probably would have been better. But again, they're not the first to do so, and they won't be the last.
Yep, true, true.
So, other thoughts, Xenocore?
No, that's pretty much it, man. You guys have a good show.
All right, thanks for tuning in and lending your perspective. One more time for that SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/Xenocore?
Correct. Give it a listen. I think you'll like a lot of the stuff on there.
What kind of music? Chiptune? Rock? What is it?
Yeah, it's sponsored by the Demo Scene. That's what I grew up with, so it tends to mirror that, but it's all over the place.
All right, nice. So I'll give it a listen. All right, take care, buddy.
Later.
Later. All right, good call. 1-877 Excuse me. Yeah, 1-877 game OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you want to give us a call. Loki.
Trian announced, I guess, that they've had some layoffs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else with this. Trian Worlds announced that Rift is going free to play this past week. I don't know. I thought that might have been where you were going with this.
No. They had layoffs. So, there was a lot of rumors on. They haven't really said how many, but it was like 70%, 80% of the staff was one of the rumors. But I don't think that they said that's far exaggerated.
Hmm. All right, let's go to the phones. We have another call coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Prince Brightstar.
Hey, Prince Brightstar. How you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good. You said you were going to listen more often. You've made good on that promise, so thank you.
I've tried to make it every week since.
Awesome. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
I've also got a comment about the whole Let's Play situation as well here.
A lot of people do. What's up?
Well, I recently started doing a Let's Play myself, particularly with Minecraft and also some of the Phantasy Star games. I started this back in December, but I have yet to monetize any of my stuff because I have yet to actually get into any of those networks. But my understanding on the whole situation with Nintendo is they're even monetizing for themselves stuff from the IGN network and GameStation and such like that. So I'm wondering if they have actually broken contracts in this. And if it's time for the Let's Player community to actually get together, host some sort of charity drive, or rather a donation drive, which will cover the fees for all this, the lawyer fees, and actually take this to court, because the laws are just very, very out of date at this point to be able to cover something like Let's Plays.
You mean fair use laws need to be reexamined?
Exactly. Because, I mean, Nintendo may also be cutting into reviews and such, which are allowed under fair use.
Well, what about kind of some of the things I was saying earlier? Like, you know, you can't do – I can't put an entire movie up and do talking over the movie. But if I wanted to do a movie review, I could obviously use little bits and pieces, which, you know, I could still do with a Nintendo game. But I can't exactly upload that to YouTube where I talk over a movie. I mean, why is it different with games?
True, and I agree with that. And in that situation, you can't do it. In fact, what most people do currently is they go and sell their tracks sort of on a site like Rift Tracks or something like that.
Right.
The problem with video games is they're an interactive medium. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching a movie, it's going to be the same for everybody, regardless. Mm-hmm. If you're playing a video game, your experience is going to be different. Granted, I respect Nintendo's and any other company for doing what they want to do because it's their game, but the gameplay itself and any commentary or putting their face on the video or putting their chat on the video as well, that's their property at that point.
So what do you think, you know, as a Let's Play person yourself, let's say something's got to give here and Nintendo, you know, wants a little piece of the pie and, you know, a little bit of the revenue. What do you think would be a solution that would make everybody happy?
I think it's better that this doesn't actually go to court and each company either says you can do whatever you want or cut some sort of fee or say flat out, you can't do this and don't post any videos. Make it clear as to what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to. And I think it's also up to the community to respect that and not put out videos if the company states they don't want videos out there.
Mm-hmm. Especially maybe for newer games, you know, having a Let's Play of Bioshock Infinite before the game's actually released when a lot of people want to know, you know, what's the ending? You know, that could be detrimental to the game. So
exactly. Or for in a worst case game like, say, Aliens Colonial Marines, if all those reviews hadn't come out so quickly, and I realize this hurts the community even more, but with the reviews and also the embargo that was out, people weren't able to cancel their pre-orders before it was too late on that game.
Good point. All right, well, Prince Brightstar, any other thoughts for us before we let you go?
That's it for tonight.
All right, you take care, buddy. Thanks for listening.
All right,
bye-bye. We'll try to squeeze in one more call, 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Other stories, Loki?
They said there's going to be another dashboard update, there's a rumor that another dashboard update is going to come to the Xbox 360 before the next system comes out.
Interesting.
Saying that, you know, that it's going to update the interface again to make it look more like Windows.
Do you think this could be because of some of the rumors about the set-top boxes that are going to come out really cheap?
I don't know about that, but maybe they're just trying to update it so that it looks nicer or something. I don't know.
All right,
I just hate when they keep changing the interface, though.
Let's go to the phones and take a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is your opening act for, I guess, this is the last time, I guess, after all the shots fired.
I'll let it slide this one time, but you make another Chrono Trigger's better than Super Metroid joke, and it's over. I'm kidding. It's all good fun. What's up, Bobby?
So I just wanted to repeat something that I've actually been repeating, and it's one thing that a lot of people don't realize about this whole Nintendo Let's Play thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's free advertising doesn't mean they have to want it.
Hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of people, like, they're like, oh, it's free advertising. Why wouldn't they want it? Maybe they don't. Maybe they want to control more of the advertising. And so the argument of it's free advertising, they should be happy with it. There's free advertising that I've gotten over the past 8 years that I haven't wanted.
Ooh, that's a good analogy. That's a really good analogy. is that sometimes, you know, like people will say something and kind of like use your site or your show or something, and you're kind of like, I don't know if I would necessarily have said that myself type of thing. Yeah, yeah. That's a really good analogy.
So, you know, just because it's free advertising doesn't mean they necessarily want it. And, I mean, the thing, like, the difference between, like, Minecraft, the reason I fully support Notch for his position is because he's not telling a story in Minecraft. He gave an actual sandbox.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're telling your own stories, whereas a Let's Play of Luigi's Mansion, you're telling the Luigi's Mansion story.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you're doing it in, you know, you're going right or left wherever you, whenever you want to, but you're still telling Nintendo's story.
Yeah, but then you could say that sandbox games, you know, say if I go and just run around in Saints Row the Third and just not necessarily play in the story stuff, but just kill people or do silly stuff, that should be fair because telling stories.
And I agree with you on that, but that's different than playing the Saints Row the Third story.
Hmm.
That's kind of where my line is. So like, yes, absolutely. Like, screwing around in Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row or Minecraft, absolutely, that should be fair use.
Or Machinima,
mm-hmm,
is a great example. Machinima,
except with Microsoft, you know, Microsoft's game content rules kind of, you know, you have to work out with them if you're going to do Machinima.
Yeah, it's true, huh?
Microsoft laid the hammer down on that.
Fifth Dream with a great comment in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. Fifth Dream says they don't want Nintendo games associated with loud cursing and stoners. Interesting. I don't think that's all of your Let's Play people, but certainly there are some Let's Play people. Hell, we did Mass Effect drunk the other night, and maybe BioWare didn't appreciate that. I don't know.
But once again, though, they need to get with it. I mean, sorry that, you know, Microsoft's not saying that they don't want their games associated with, you know, stoners and loudmouths and stuff like that, but they keep saying that they keep, like, going back and forth with what they want. We're going to make games that appeal to the mass, you know, to, you know, core gamers and stuff. Oh, we're going to make family games. You know, oh, we're going to, you know, make it so that it's more friendly for third parties. Now we're going to make first party games and stuff. I think that they need to figure out what their focus is instead of trying to, like, I don't think they know what their focus is almost. Like, they're trying to appeal to, like, people that aren't buying their system or something. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
But what a really interesting point is that they may not want the advertising. You know, it just kind of makes me think, like, you know, I'm really appreciative that there's many of you out there that put, like, OLR in your usernames or your clan names or OLR, VOG, you know, for VOG and so forth. And I think that's really awesome to help spread the word. But you better not be acting like an idiot when you're doing that, because then it makes people go, well, I don't know what this VOG thing is, but what a bunch of assholes, you know, and that's not good.
Yeah,
and that's not the advertising we want.
I don't think it's necessarily that, you know, maybe these people are fans of those, you know, those games, and so they're excited about that. It's not necessarily like spread advertising. I mean, because no one needs to advertise Super Mario Brothers. Everyone knows what the fuck Super Mario Brothers is, for the most part. I mean, obviously, no, we've seen some pictures from from Super Mario World and Super Metroid that people don't know, you know, how to play that. But I'm just saying that for the most part, people are aware of what it is. It's not necessarily free advertising, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's just a unique take on it with the Let's Play stuff, unless you're just straight playing through the game without any sort of commentary on it. It's really hard to say that you're taking anything away from them, I guess. I don't know.
But it's still, yeah, it's free advertising, but Nintendo may not want that advertising, and maybe they're okay with the Let's Play community saying we're not going to do Nintendo videos anymore. Maybe that's what they want.
Hmm.
And so this is, you know, they're kind of doing, oh, yeah, we're the good guys. Oh, well, you didn't want to take our offer, so, you know, okay, have fun doing the Microsoft and the Sony stuff.
Well, no, they won't be doing Microsoft either.
Yeah, but Microsoft hasn't gone through with YouTube.
Not well. They haven't, but they did kind of make the first move in this whole thing a few months ago.
But still, that's even weird though that they would, because once again, I would see that as strange if they're going to try to put out these sort of features where they're trying to get people to broadcast on Twitch and broadcast on, you know, YouTube and stuff and share all these videos and things. Oh, but we don't want you to do that, or at least don't want you to.
No, they don't want you to make money doing it.
Well, pardon
that's
me
the
that
whole
you tell
difference.
Me
like
how
that,
I should make no, my
Nintendo's
money.
Nintendo's not pulling a Sega. Microsoft's not pulling a Sega. But they're just saying you can't, and at least Microsoft has a licensing path, so you can make money from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably wouldn't be able to recoup. the licensing costs unless you were Machinima.com or Revision 3 or one of these larger sites.
Well, what we need to do is we just need to have some sort of reform to this whole you buy the game, you get the game thing instead of it being a license, because this is where all the bullshit's coming from, is fucking licensing software. It needs to be you own that shit. Not that you can turn around and say, okay, I buy Halo 4, Halo 4 is mine, and I'm going to sell copies of it and claim that it's, you know, Loki's Halo 4.
Yeah, but that's exactly what you're saying, is that, you know, in order to own it, you have to be able to do that.
I'm sure that we can kind of come to a sort of happy medium where if it...
Lawyers won't let them.
Piracy, you know, just straight up piracy, that you at least own the stuff that you have. Like, you know, I just because I own a car doesn't mean that I've manufactured those cars. I can't go and clone my car and expect to get away with it, but that car is mine. I can do whatever the hell I want to it.
All right. Well, no easy answer to this, and I'm sure the conversation will be continuing through the next few weeks, especially when we see what other companies are going to follow in Nintendo's footsteps, because I bet there'll be at least one. But, Bobby, before I let you go, earlier in the show we were talking about some of our predictions for Tuesday's Xbox announcements, and I was kind of curious, since you know you are the opening act and everything, as you say, what are your thoughts
on Tuesday? I mostly agree with you guys. They're not going to – no price, no date. I do think Xbox Infinity is going to be the name. I know that they'll give the name. I know that they'll show a couple games. But I think they'll talk more about the entertainment offerings and stuff. But you got to realize, like, this is also being broadcast live on TV.
Right.
So this is... so they're probably going to try to reach everything and leave a lot of the core stuff maybe to E3. I don't know. I do think it's funny, and I mentioned this in chat, and I don't think you guys picked up on it. About the space poncho thing, they have gone full board with the Twitter handle Xbox Reveal Tent.
Oh.
And it's actually an official Microsoft person actually posting as the tent. But it's been tweeting for like the last week as they've been setting things up. So they're actually making the tent that the reveal's taking place in a character and fully embracing that. So that's probably going to be the space poncho of this year, or at least that's what Microsoft hopes the space poncho of this year is going
to be. They have to understand you can't force space poncho. Space poncho is just something that happens. It's a natural thing.
Right.
You can't
just make a viral video. Like,
yes, exactly.
The video has to go viral. It's different. But good point.
So, Bobby, you looking forward to checking out Gran Turismo 6 when it comes out?
Did Gran Turismo 5 ever come out? I will get to play Saints Row 4.
Oh yeah, yes. I know you're looking forward to E3. It's only a few weeks away.
Yeah, I did get my I've got my appointment time. It's Wednesday morning.
Nice.
That's when I'll be playing Saints Row 4. They said that's actually they're going to have a playable portion.
I hope I'm there with you so I can pick up the phone and actually call Loki after that. Yes. and hand you the phone. All right.
Yeah, I got to play Saints Row 4 as well. You know, I downloaded the Trouble with Clones expansion as well.
All right, that's it. We're ending the show. All right, Bobby, any other quick final thoughts before I let you go?
Chrono Trigger greater than Super Metroid?
That was a bad final thought, and for that I'm hanging up. Goodbye.
That would be an incorrect thought.
All right, we're going to close up the Skype line. I'm really sorry. There were a few of you still trying to call that didn't get through. I'm very sorry, but we are running a little over, and I have to do some things after the show. So do remember, you can always tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. You can also email us, mailbag@orangelaundry.com. That's a great way to get all of your thoughts out. Let me, speaking of Twitter, go to the Twitter real quick. Loki, I don't know if you had any other last-minute stories real quick here.
Not really. There's just a story that they're going to they've already talked about doing this before, but they're replacing Microsoft points with real money. So. Yeah.
Tiger Claw tweeting us that Blaze Blue anime is getting a fall release in Japan. I didn't know they were making an anime about Blaze Blue.
That makes sense. They would.
That's pretty cool.
I know they're making a new game, or they're making a game for Guilty Gear, so that's pretty cool.
A good way to kind of enhance things. Misty sending us some tweets from ASEN because she was at the show, and she tweeted us some pictures from Pinkberry. Thanks for rubbing it in, Misty, because I wish I could be there right now, but because that cookies and cream flavor is so good. But there's that free advertising that. Maybe Pinkberry doesn't want the advertising we keep giving them on our show. We should stop that. Spazinator tweeting us his Facebook fan page for his kitty Anakin, and that is a cute cat. I'm looking at now. See, now I'm looking at cat pics, but I like that you set up a whole little Facebook. Smiling Yoshi tweets us and says, Smiling Yoshi wonders if he'll someday be subject to Nintendo's defense of copyrights. I mean, I'm a Yoshi doll, and I'm so darn cute. Oh, I remember this account. This is a Twitter account that's this little dolly Yoshi that makes all these tweets, and it's really cute. See, there's Smiling Yoshi.
Yeah.
So it's a little doll. Imagine like a garden gnome that goes everywhere and tweets from all
the... I have that doll.
Oh, okay, there you
well,
go.
Well, I should say Josh has that doll, but okay. We have that doll in the house.
Well, so Smiling Yoshi is worried that maybe Nintendo is going to shut down this Twitter account. I don't think you have anything to worry about, because at least you know, I'm looking at this your user icon, which is Yoshi kind of sitting on your feet or a friend's feet or something like that, and I'm thinking, you know, that picture is like 5% Yoshi and 95% a body in a room. So I think you'd be okay. I think that would actually be okay with fair use laws, just so you know. ActDef tweeting us, Guilty Gear XRD Sign got announced today.
That's the game I was talking about.
I didn't know there was a... Oh, okay.
I think it's kind of funny, though, that name, though, you know, XRC Sign, or XRD Sign, because it's like all the, you know, games have been like Guilty Gear Accent Core Plus, or like, you know, they have like some sort of weird symbol after them. Mm-hmm. So it's like... XRD, it's like X entry into the series and some random sign.
And lastly, a tweet from Eric RPG. People often say devs are high when they make game ideas. Here's one put to practice, maybe. And he tweets us a link to something over on Destructoid about the game Demon Chic. Like, it's chic and it's new. I guess this is coming out of the Destructoid podcast. Where they talk about things on the podcast that ought to be turned into video games. But it looks like somebody actually turned this idea into a video game.
What a novel idea.
Do you listen to this show every week, Eric? Because the same thing happened to us not that long. Maybe that's why he tweeted it to us, actually.
If only someone would make a game, like, you know, about...
Bungee Ferret Tossing, like we said ought to be a game. If only that was available on Xbox Live Indie Games. But anyway, Demon Chic is apparently a crossbreed between WarioWare, Earthbound, and The Curse of Monkey Island. I don't even know how that goes together there. But I guess if you're a fan of Destructoid's podcast, then there's lots of lulzy in-jokes there for you. Well, fine. If Podtoid's gonna get a game, then you know what I want? You know what I want? I want two games. One game isn't good enough anymore. All right. Anyhow, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio, because that was it for Last Minute Stories, right?
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much for tuning into our show. If you like our show, remember, this is an indie production. We do everything here, you know, for free. We don't really monetize the show like maybe we ought to, but we do pay out of pocket to do the show. And you know what? We just love the community. We like paying the money to spend time with our friends every week. All we ask, help us grow our community. Tell a friend or two about the show and help spread the word about Orange Lounge Radio. It helps. And keep showering Dark Soccer with gifts, because she really likes that too and gets her all beclempt. That was really awesome, though. That was a great idea too. I love that, because it's something that, like, in turn will just help Vogue in general. So that's awesome. Anyhow, before we close up shop, we gotta go around and get final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is that I showed quite a bit of self-restraint in this digital games mayhem sale on Amazon, because I didn't buy a lot of this. I buy random weird shit, but I only bought two things. I bought, Sam Max collection, which is all three seasons of Sam and Max, so that's like 18 episodes of gaming to play, and then Saints Row 2, because, you know, I didn't have it yet on Steam, so that'd be pretty good. And I need people to give me suggestions for game night, you know, because otherwise I'm just going to pick something at random. It may end up being Call of Duty or something, because I can't think of, I mean, or we'll play Minecraft again and Bobby will show up and it'll be just me and him again. But no, seriously, I need like some suggestions, and whether or not you guys want to do, you know, Thursday or Friday, because Friday, I might have to start a little bit later on Friday, because Josh usually stays up a little bit later, because we try to get him to sleep in a little bit later. But, you know, it'll be like 8, 8:30-ish. And, you know, I think then that way we can play a lot longer because, you know, we won't have to worry about, you know, the work day next day for most people. But yes, let me know on the forums what you want to play so we can consider that.
All right. A couple final thoughts from me. I will echo what Bobby Blackwolf in chat is saying. Some VOG announcements coming on June the 2nd, so stay tuned for that. Horde House has a big surprise this week, so tune in on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific to hear that. So I guess just plugs from me. So there you go. That's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. We will be back probably in 2 weeks, but stay tuned to our Twitter just in case we're able to pull out a show during Memorial Day weekend. We'll let you know. But otherwise, have a great week. For those of you in the States, have a great 3-day weekend on Memorial Day. For those of you throughout the rest of the world, have a great week, whatever you're doing. And E3 is almost here, you guys. Lots of gaming news coming at you. Brace yourselves for this Xbox thing on Tuesday. It should be interesting. Have a great week, everybody. And have fun. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune in to VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.